Is flock safety eavesdropping on private citizens? In this case, this flock raven is literally under the eave of a private residence. How close? I'm now touching the sill of this house, standing next to the raven.
The community center said, okay, well, we're a little worried that there might be some sort of anti-Semitic attack, so we want to share our footage with police in case they need it, in case there's a shooting or something terrible happens. And by doing that, they shared it with flock. All flock employees, over 1,000 times, and they were all grown men. And they were looking at these cameras at the daycare center, the children's gymnastics room. And their defense to this was that it was a product demo for another client. And I'm thinking to myself, if I had a business and I wanted a flock camera by the police department and somebody pulled up a laptop and said, look how good this works, and then it was a children's gymnastics room, I would call the police, or hit them. I'm not sure what I would do, but that's an outrageous explanation. That's just delusional.
How many flock employees were fired after that?
None. Not one.
If they're going to track us, that's against our constitutional rights. You know, I have the right to move about this country free without somebody looking over my shoulder constantly.
Flock Safety's solar-powered license plate readers have blanketed America like a digital dragnet, scanning tens of billions of plates a month, feeding hot lists to cops and private HOAs, and turning every street corner into a permanent checkpoint. The backlash is real. Dozens of cities have ditched the contracts after privacy scandals.
For many, flock cameras are supposed to make communities safer. But after three officers allegedly abused the system for personal reasons, some residents are questioning whether the technology has enough safeguards.
If they're able to use it for all these other reasons, like tracking people, either they need a new company that has protections on the gear to where you can't do all that stuff, or there needs to be some checks and balances on it.
False alerts that put innocent drivers at gunpoint.
Turn, get out on the ground, dude, now. You're going to get bit.
Man, for real? That's what you're doing. Huh? Doing nothing, man.
Hand your back.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's already asking for medical like a little... little petulant child.
So that's not the play. Well, that's not the stolen play.
No, no. Did it just miss hit?
I think it miss hit.
Why you make that door fight?
We'll talk later.
Hey, face away from me now!
Right now, man, we got a hit on car and a stolen vehicle. So you're about to cooperate with us?
I'll cooperate, but I trust you.
You have any weapons on you?
No.
Turn around. I gotta put you in these for right now, okay?
I've got a baby in the car.
So we have a flock camera system that's around East Tennessee. We got a hit from that flock camera.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so L0DUI, not LODUI.
Unauthorized federal data grabs and that creeping sense that your every commute is being logged for the permanent record.
Well, guys, flock just got wings. Those street side cameras that are already all across America. What if I told you they're not stopping there? The same company behind the cameras are now putting autonomous surveillance drones in the sky. And depending on who you ask, it's either the future of public safety or the more likely option, the biggest expansion of government surveillance we've seen yet. Now the company's automated license plate readers have spread across the country, creating one of the nation's largest interconnected video surveillance networks. After partnering with aviation software company Aerodome, Flock launched Flock Alpha, an autonomous police drone built to respond to emergencies before officers even arrive. The drone sits inside a waterproof docking station waiting for a call, and when a 911 report comes in, the drone can launch automatically and fly up to 60 miles per hour. Officers don't even have to be standing nearby. They can deploy it directly from one of these little things, a smartphone. And this thing isn't just flying overhead. It's got thermal imaging, high-definition cameras, and powerful optical zoom. And well, according to Flock, it can even read a vehicle's license plate from 2,000 feet away. That's not terrifying at all.
But instead of the surveillance layer being torn down, it's being rebranded. Axon, the taser and body cam giant, has stormed into the gap with its own pole-mounted and streetlight retrofit ALPR systems, the same hardware partners Flock used.
Guess who else owns Axon? That's right. According to financial disclosures, the president purchased between $1 and $5 million of Axon stock. Guess when?
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy
1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol. Both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this. But benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome to another powerful afternoon War Room broadcast. I am your host, Rex Jones. Welcome to the show today. We have a jam-packed 3 hours for you. I got a Green Beret interview. Matt Murphy joining me in the middle of the second hour, and I'll be taking your calls in the third. We have a lot to get into and a lot to go over, but since it is the War Room, I want to start with the geopolitical roundup. It's been a little hard for me because, like, doing the Alex Jones show and also doing my morning show as well, I've you got to cover more stories other than just like pure geopolitics and war. But I think it's important because people who tune into this show care about global conflict. More importantly than that, they care about stopping it and how do we stop it. We're aware of it. We recognize what's going on, who the criminals are, how they're destroying our country, what they're making us fund. Right. So I want to go ahead and get into all of that, just like I did on yesterday's show, talking about the idea of TACO. Trump always chickens out. Now, there are various arguments as to why this is, and people say, well, it's pure market manipulation, and he's a genius, and he's doing pump and dumps essentially every weekend. And it is kind of like a Looney Tunes cartoon where, like, you know he's going to attack when the markets close, and then when the markets open, you're okay. It's like, oh, we got to plan the picnic for Wednesday. We know it won't be bombing yet. It's just kind of absurd. But there's that perspective to look at it from. There's also the perspective of fear. Right. Like, what is he afraid of? What does he know? He knows that he ran on being the peace president. And if he does what Netanyahu and Smotrich and Ben-Gavir and all the chuckle buddies, the demon vampires want him to do, he's totally and permanently cooked. You could say he's already cooked and it is what it is. And you'd say, well, what's one more giant PR disaster? This won't just be a giant PR disaster. We have one of those every week. We used to talk about Biden gaffes. Now we talk about, you know, Trump just doing what Unk is going to do. If we get hundreds or thousands of American dead bodies coming home, nothing will save the GOP. Nothing will save the Republican Party. And ultimately, nothing will save Donald Trump. And they know that. They knew that from day one. Why did they do it? Well, it's because they're an occupied party, because both parties are occupied. We live in an occupied nation. They don't have a choice. So they got to spend the political capital that we gave them on this mission they've been handed on a silver platter by the Israel lobby and Zionists at large. So let's go ahead and check in with Unk, and then we'll go over his latest tweet, or one of the later tweets. We'll go over Joe Kent's commentary on it. But I want you guys to play clip number two. President says the U.S. had an attack on Iran plan. That would be just the end-all be-all. Go ahead and play clip number two.
We're asked by the three primary groups. We're also asked by Iran, very strongly, actually. They said, we'd like to make a deal. Now, you know, I don't know what they say, because a lot of times they'll say that to me and then they'll go out and say, we don't know what he's talking about. Obviously, they don't want to be attacked. And they knew the extent of the attack because they saw it forming.
What happens now?
Well, now what we're doing is we're talking to them in the form of a negotiation. It begins tomorrow afternoon and we'll see if it's true. I'd love to do that. Save a lot of lives. Save a lot of unnecessary power, to be honest with you. It would take many, many years to ever build it back. If it could, I don't think it would be even buildable back. So we had an attack that would be the biggest attack since World War II, and it would have been disastrous with them. And they didn't want us to do it. And frankly, Saudi Arabia didn't want it either. They thought that a deal is imminent.
Okay, so he tells the truth at the end there. It's not about Iran because Trump isn't talking to the Iranians. The Iranians are talking to the Pakistanis, and the Pakistanis talk to Trump and to J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, the rest of our dignitaries. That's the reality. The Saudi Arabians are the Saudis in general. They are the ones that are trying to end this conflict the hardest, right? Now, you can look at the Gulf states and their history of being incredibly subservient to the U.S., and they're still incredibly subservient, and they still do our bidding and Mossad's bidding at large. However, if they get all their oil infrastructure blown up, it is the end of their empire, the end of their power. During the Sykes-Picot Agreement, shortly after, I believe, World War One, where the lines were drawn and things were decided, these are Bedouin tribesmen that essentially won the lottery, right? And they're not about to lose that. So what's interesting to point out to people is that there is a security agreement between now Pakistan and Saudi Arabia. So Pakistan, if you may remember, they are responsible in large part for the MOU. They are responsible for that meeting where J.D. Vance and Foreign Minister Arachi of Iran were in the same room. That was a very big deal that happened. And people don't really talk about it because it didn't really pan out. But whenever stuff like that happens, you have to understand other countries actually take their diplomacy seriously. And when they have a meeting like that, especially with like the world's leading global empire, which is us, they take it very seriously and they have a certain level of respect for it, even if something doesn't result from the process directly. And that's called building respect. We don't do that with people. J.D. Vance is the only person in office, as a part of this administration that has tried to do something like that. And he hasn't even tried to do it. He just does it as a factotum of Trump so that Trump can signal and say, oh, look, I'm trying to negotiate. I'm trying to negotiate. I'm trying to negotiate. Ultimately, Trump is like a pragmatic robber in this scenario. He's trying to figure out, okay, how can I take from you, meaning Iran? Like, what can I take from you to where you're not going to hit me back to a degree that's going to just destroy everything forever? There's not really an answer to that, because if he leaves and abandons the Middle East, which is what he should do, the neocons will lambast him and blame him for everything forever. If he stays there and goes total war or stretches it out, we're going to blame him forever, and that's also going to destroy him. So he's really caught between a rock and a hard place, and it's going to be interesting to see what his decision is. And I'd like to go ahead and go to clip number 3, contrasting the attitude of people that would like for him to go even farther and do more. We got Randinator, Randy Fine, 600 pounds of not any fun. Go ahead and play clip number 3.
What do you say to Americans, though, who have watched this back and forth, who have watched the president say there are strikes on the horizon and then pull that back? And we've done this dance several times, sir. So what do you say to Americans who are concerned watching that and who are watching the impact here at home? They are facing the burden of higher cost and watching this drag out.
Yeah, look, I would say that we've been dealing with this not for a few months, but for 47 years, we've been dealing with these issues with Iran. And what people need to understand is this. Iran was spending huge amounts of money to build an intercontinental ballistic missile. That intercontinental ballistic missile only had one purpose. It was to deliver a nuclear weapon United States.
They totally
had
made
the
up.
Missiles they needed to hit total anywhere lie. They wanted in Israel.
Iran banned the nuclear weapon in 2003.
That the president has said we cannot
We face. Killed the guy that banned
as
the nuke.
As much as it stinks to pay an extra dollar a gallon of gas, which I think will come down fairly shortly.
As much as it sucks to have another inch of, our boot in your butt, you know, you're just going to have to take it because it's not as bad as having the Muslims, right?
But how much longer can Americans continue to carry that burden?
Until we win. I mean, look, that's
well, we're like going to do it until we pick enough cotton. That's how long we're going to do it. You know, we're going to make a decision. Hey, you tired? You want to get out of the field? Hell no. You're going to fight for Israel. You're going to die for Israel. This is a slave master.
And they are the ones who can't hold out.
Understand that. That's why I'm talking over him. Just discount everything he says. This guy wants to keep you, regardless of your origin, if you're an American, he wants to keep you on the tax and military plantation of Israel. Think about that. There's no freedom in a world where we have a sitting U.S. congressperson telling people to starve away, right? Because he's not just dehumanizing the people over there. He's starving and killing. He's dehumanizing you by making you go along with it and making you accept it, making you feel proud of it. That's the real sin. That's what's really been done to America. This guy is a slave master. He just said, your gas goes up a dollar, you go pay, because we're going to go until we win. What kind of sick logic is that? What's winning? What's your definition of winning? Because first you said it wasn't a war. Now you say it is a war, but it's not a war. Trump wants to say the four recent casualties, Tyler, Angel, Michael, and Sarah, he wants to say they didn't die in a war. So which is it? It's a war we got to fight forever, a war we've been fighting for 47 years. But it's not a war we're fighting because Congress says it's not a war because they voted to strike down the War Powers Resolution. You see how there's no way out of this with people like this in charge? And this is why the campaign of Dan Bilzerian is such a disgrace, because you have the opportunity to run against this guy and really challenge him, and you spend it trying to be like an internet lord with Nick Fuentes. I would love to talk to Dan. I would love to talk to him about this and really just pick his brain as to why you would squander that opportunity and not even tell people to vote until like super recent to the election. So I just, not everything is for social media clout. Not everything is a grift. Sometimes you have to take your stuff seriously. And like, pull him up again. Show Randy Fine. You're running against your refrigerator. Is your refrigerator running? Hello? Hello? Is your refrigerator running? Oh, well, actually, he's already in office right now. That would be Randy Fine, the man that's full of food. And you can't even beat that? Now, I'm not a Floridian, but somebody that lives there needs to run against this guy and actually do a good job. I just want to say that really quick. But let's get back into it a little bit. I want to show people this clip number 7. And I really want to highlight what's been, you know, done to this operation and other people, you know, other people in conservative media, whatever you want to say, alternative media, and the way that we've all been targeted. Go ahead and play clip number 7.
I know that I am the person who informed the president of everything that Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and Alex Jones were saying about him. And despite preparing a lot of these reports for the White House, it's my understanding a lot of this information was not given to him or explained to him in full, which is alarming, because you have to ask yourself who surrounding the president is serving as a gatekeeper for the woke Reich.
A gatekeeper for the woke Reich? That's what we represent. They want to slap some term together and define who we are. How about Trump's old friends? How about that? Not the woke Reich, whatever you want to say. How about the people that still have the values that Trump ran on in 2016 and 2024? Like, we ain't the ones that switched up. It's an archetypal thing. Look, it's Grima Wormtongue type stuff. It's Lord of the Rings. It's very simple. Like, we aren't the ones that changed. You're the one that changed. You wrote for RT, and then now you're over in Ukraine. So like, how does that work exactly? It's not fair. It's not fair for Trump to come out and call my dad low IQ and fried and bankrupt and laugh at him and make fun of him, because we were kicked off social media and then Trump was kicked off social media. And people like Laura understand this. They get it. They were there back in the day. I don't understand betraying those values for a foreign country. I really don't get it. You could say, oh, like someone's loyal to like an American political faction that we hate, like the DSA or something, right? Like this is far different. Right. This is somebody working for a nation, in my opinion, in my view, thousands of miles away, and like giving the president social media reports of the people that are critical of him. We're supposed to be critical of the president. If we're not critical of the dear leader, then he is a dear leader, is he not? Like, do we get a choice? Do we get any agency at all in our country? Or is it just like the more likable chuckle buddy or buddette, if it's a girl, eventually woman president, like whoever it is? In office, we just have to like, well, that's our guy, that's our girl, that's our person that we support. It's just like, what is wrong with you? Where do you get off? How has that been the way that things have ever worked here? All right, this is a country of rebels and a country of people that struggle against power, authority, and ultimately colonialism. And you're asking us, Laura, to endorse a colonial power right now, which is the state of Israel. And all the American death, all the American money, all the American weapons that get taken from this country, the blood and treasure, if you will, and they get spent in the Middle East, that is all done in the interest of preserving Israel. And not even preserving Israel, growing Israel and subsuming parts of Israel, subsuming Jordan, subsuming Saudi Arabia, subsuming parts of Iraq, parts of Iran, Lebanon, Syria. That's what it's really all about. And they see it as, hey, the United States did it to the Americans or Native Americans 250 years ago or later than that. Like, why can't we do it? You know, and that's an interesting argument. And that's probably the most valid argument. But ultimately, we've moved on. We live in the future. And ultimately, genocide is wrong. And we're not going to do it anymore. And you don't get a license to do it because you convinced a bunch of evangelical boomers that Bibi Netanyahu is the second coming of Jesus. It's not going to work out that way. And it doesn't matter how many of us you kill, you destroy, you do whatever to. All right. It's completely irrelevant because the young people realize we're not going to have a future. We already don't have a future. Do you want to have grandchildren or do you not? Do you want to be able to have stability in a country where your kids can grow up and feel like you were a kid, can understand your experience, your childhood, have those shared values, that same bond? Or do you want that all to go away? Do you want that all to go away and to be replaced with either Judeo-Christian nationalism, where you have to fight Apocalypse Now, World War, over in the Middle East and in Russia? Or do you want it to be the DSA Mamdani hellhole? You know, like I don't believe in that binary. I think we can find a third option, but young people have to wake up and realize, like, do you want grandchildren? Do you want a future? The question is, like, will you actualize that by getting involved in politics? And really not even that, just being the best version of yourself. Fuentes talks about it quite often. I just say it universally. Like, now is the time to be better. The prior generations, there's tons of hardworking people that know way more than us, and we can learn a lot from them, but the vast majority of them didn't do anything. We have the opportunity now in this time of crisis to actually get quite strong, because we need to be strong. We need to be able. We need to have skills. We need to have the ability to do the things that the boomers always talk about. Okay? The boomers say, oh, I walked uphill in the snow 2 miles to go to school. Well, even if we don't have to do that, even if we could get an Uber, we need to do that training. We need to be out there in the woods. We need to be, you know, building stuff with our hands. Like, we gotta be real, right? We gotta be capable, because hell is coming. Should we choose to accept it, or should the older people choose to accept it? And I fear that we as a nation already have. And that is a little bit black pilling, but I do want to get into just a little white pill here, talking about why we are not currently bombing Iran. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's not happening right now. Knock on wood as well that doesn't happen, because, you know, famous last words and all of that. But I want to read this from Larry Johnson about the Iranian counterstrike option. Not talking about CSGO. Counter-strike is in retaliatory option if there was a U.S.-Israeli campaign again. I'm going to read this, and I want you to make up your mind listening to it at home. A major U.S.-Israeli campaign against Iran. This is a 31-year CIA analyst, veteran, geopolitical guy, basically never wrong, Larry Johnson. Against Iran would create a credible risk of retaliatory pressure against the most concentrated Israeli fuel systems first, followed by wider pressure against Gulf country refining, LNG, liquid natural gas, power, water, storage, and export systems if these states are perceived as enabling the campaign. This is the whole problem. This is why, right here, this is why we can't go to war in the Middle East anymore against a country even like the Houthi that have ballistic missiles, that have drones, that have all these things, because all they have to do is shut Yanbu, shut Suez. All they have to do is shut the Red Sea. All they have to do is shut Bab el-Mandeb, Strait of Hormuz. And then it's all over. We can't do anything. The strategic danger is not a single damaged facility. It is the possibility. It's huge. That several tightly coupled systems fail faster than substitute supply, repair capacity, and emergency logistics can be mobilized. For defense analysis, the report assumes that the first retaliatory pressure would fall on Israel, because Israel be a direct combatant and because its domestic fuel system is concentrated in two refineries. The model then examines a widening second stage in which selected GCC systems could face pressure if Gulf air bases, logistics, intelligence, energy support, or political alignment were viewed as materially supporting the campaign. If we do anything militarily with these countries, if we put planes there, if we put troops there, if we have Tic Tacs there, it doesn't matter. Trump was eating the Tic Tacs at Lindsey Graham's funeral. If those Tic Tacs are shipped into the country and there is a bombing campaign being run on Iran, every single U.S. location and asset is going to be at immediate risk of being terminated. And that does not only include American lives and American military equipment. That also includes American businesses, all the billionaires, the Amazon warehouse, I believe, got blown up as well. See if we can find that. See if we can find that crew, if we can look that up. Like, you are at risk to a degree, not just from military perspective, immediate security, but you cannot get insured. You cannot do business. Your business will die. And, like, Mario Newfall, I would love to talk to him. I know he interviews people all the time. I like to interview him. And I like to be like, what is it like living in Dubai? Like, why are you still doing that? Like, you're a smart guy. Like, oh, this is retarded, though. Like, leave. Like, you are rich and you do a really good job of being a broadcaster interviewer. Like, why are you living in hell? Here's the thing. Like, people have connections and they know people, whatever. It is what it is. I bet it's pretty sick. I bet it is badass to live there. For him, at least. But it is time to leave. Look at this. Iran says it attacked Amazon infrastructure in Bahrain. Iran's IRGC say they have attacked Amazon's data infrastructure in Bahrain. U.S. CENTCOM has carried out 10 consecutive nights, blah, blah, blah. And now that's not happening anymore, so that's old news. But yeah, so American commercial infrastructure and just Western commercial infrastructure in general is at major threat. I'm going to keep reading this article here. Israel has, and this is key to understand, they only have two refineries. Listen to this. Israel has no geographically diversified domestic refining system. This is a big deal. They only have two. Haifa, Bazan, and Neshad carry effectively the entire national burden for diesel and jet kerosene production. And this is the problem right here, is the mid distillate product, right? The problem is not necessarily around the world that, we can't start the car or whatever, although that is coming, that is already on its way. The problem is the middle distillate product, because they can choose to either make jet fuel or they can choose to make the diesel that goes in your truck so that you can go to the grocery store and have food on the shelves and run the tractors and till the fields and do that stuff. They're going to have to make a decision here in America. We have tons of this stuff, even though we're a net importer of the sour crude. Like, we have a ton of oil. Like, Israel's tiny. It's the size of New Jersey. They're screwed. They rely solely on imports. If this gets disturbed or blown up, they are completely done. That's why the 12-day war was a 12-day war. They couldn't do it anymore. The larger Haifa complex supplies approximately 2/3 of the combined middle distillate baseline and roughly 70% of diesel. Ashad is the only substantial domestic alternative if Haifa becomes unavailable. And that is the central Haifa is the central Israeli fuel security exposure because it combines, that means like the most biggest vulnerability, because it combines the largest refining burden with interconnected support systems. A future disruption would not need to eliminate every crude or conversion unit to create a national deficit. Loss of electrical, steam, hydrogen, internal transfer controls, tankage, or product certification. Just an entire sheet, an entire list of points of failure here. And that is a reality. It would be like getting in a fight, like a UFC fight, and I don't know, I guess you could still move around and stuff, but like you just had like your jaw broken. So I guess you just like have to like, oh, we're going to hit him with the knockout blow. And then, or if they hit me at all, like I'm going down immediately. And that's kind of been the U.S.'s approach to the conflict. And that entire sequence has already played out. And then now Iran knows that they have the ability to hit us. They've depleted our defense munitions that don't even work that well. And you can stick a fork in it. We're cooked. A little sip of water. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do a live plug right now. This is the capsule version of Methylene Blue. We have this available for you at thealexjonesstore.com. We have the highest quality nutritional supplements, the highest quality Patriot apparel, t-shirts, you name it, and more. I created two products to go alongside Methylene Blue. That's the Power Drive bundle. That's going to be the Power Plant and Methyl Drive, if we can pull that up. There we go. Beautiful, and it's so convenient, too. This is the thing. With the capsules, if you're going to travel, if you're going to have this in your bag versus having the liquid, like if you're in the liquid, got to have the Ziplocs and be all crazy. This is a great way to know you got 10 milligrams of methylene blue in each one of these capsules. You got 60 right here. Phenomenal deal. That's ultra methylene blue. And that is all available for you in the Power Drive bundle as well. But that really is the best seller for a reason. You can go ahead and get that right now at thealexjonesstore.com. When we get back, I got more breaking news for you. I got more information on the shooting that just happened. And we got Matt Murphy joining us here in the second hour. So stay tuned, stay with me, and I appreciate you. And follow me at Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter if you want to do that. That would be pretty based if you did that. Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, send me some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. And ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically, that power plant formula, If you're looking for something like Supermail Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle, along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. You got the T3 trifecta iodine, absolute staple of the old network. Got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the bovine beef tallow. It's got the methylene blue inside the tallow. Incredible antioxidant, methylene blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top-rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins, memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta. Appreciate everyone tuning in on the afternoon drive or whatever y'all are doing, unwinding or getting ramped up for work. I hope I can go over some interesting topics for you and really make you aware of what's happening in the world today. I am Rex Jones, the host of the War Room for today. Harrison Steady did the Alex Jones show today. It's kind of fun. We've all been kind of, you know, swapping and moving around and doing different shows here. When they called me up and they asked me to host more and to just, you know, to be around because my dad was going to be, you know, out of town and whatnot. It's been really fun to be here in studio. But I want to go over more information, which I think people are aware of, but I'd like to see it shown more to people. Just the polling, negative views of Israel. If I can get overhead shot on this, please. Netanyahu and negative views of Israel continue to rise among Americans, especially young people. Oh, you don't say. They're unpopular? The people, you know, bankrupting our country right now and killing Americans, the Americans that live here, the American citizens that should matter in the election? They're not a fan? Oh, no brainer, right? Americans have increasingly negative views of Israel and its Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, according to a new Pew Research Center survey. If you can look at this now, 60% of U.S. adults have an unfavorable view of Israel, up from 53%. So they just added 7% to that year over year. It's pretty insane. If you were saving that money, you'd be making money against inflation right now. Pretty crazy. 59% have little or no confidence in Netanyahu to do the right thing. Yeah, you know, for some reason, I don't think Voldemort is going to be nice to Harry Potter. For some reason, I don't think Palpatine is going to be nice to the Jedi. For some reason, I don't think the Covenant is going to be nice to Master Chief. Like, something there doesn't add up to me. That's just completely nuts. And you can look at it. Americans' views of Israel are sharply divided by party and age, right? So you got people that are under a certain age, like 8 in 10 Democrats and Democratic-leaning independents currently have an unfavorable view of Israel, up from 69% last year and 53% in 2022. Democrats under 50 are slightly more likely than older Democrats to say they have a very unfavorable view. You can keep in mind this is a study size of about 3,500 adults. More Republicans and Republican leaners have a favorable than unfavorable view of Israel. This is the problem, because where are the independents going to be? Where are the people that turned out for Trump in 2024 going to be? Are they going to be on the pro and favorable side for Israel, or are they going to be on the anti? Are they going to be on the against? Are they going to say, hey, I'm not really a fan of voting for genocide and being lied to about it? Like, this is what I talk about holding the feet to the fire, not being a nice thing to do. It's a very mean thing to do. Like, you got to, like, burn somebody to wake them up, essentially. It's what we're talking about. And, like, there is no waking up Trump. Trump decided to be evil and do this and to kill little kids. So, like, and that's just, oh, you can't tell. Well, it happened at war. It happened at war. It's what happened. But it's not a war, is it? Because Trump says it's not a war. So shut up. Sorry. I know we got neocons watching. I can't help it. I the slithering creatures in the darkness. I want to talk to you for a second. Like, just please stop supporting this war. Like, please stop doing it. And to the psychopaths and sociopaths that genuinely like doing it, like, it's not even going that well for you, because Trump isn't going to do the bombing. So, like, it is, everyone's upset. Everyone's not happy with this. I'm going to read this again. This is more extreme. Poll finds nearly half of Americans support arresting Netanyahu. You're right. Nearly half of Americans believe that the U.S. should arrest Israeli Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu over his actions in Gaza. Not even the other things as well, because keep in mind, he's wanted for many other crimes. He's basically, who's like the worst criminal? Crew, can we think of the worst criminal? Like, I think of somebody that's like cartoon bad as a criminal. And then tell me in my ear so I can give a good analogy. When asked if the U.S. should enforce an international criminal court arrest warrant for Netanyahu, 49% of respondents in the poll said yes, while 27% said no, and 23% were unsure. And I've seen people attack the ICC. Here's the thing. We're giving them validity. Because out of anything, you know, it's like getting like a parking ticket for genocide. We know that he did it. And they're like, oh, well, they're not a legitimate body. He doesn't have to pay the parking ticket. Yeah, Dr. Evil's a good example. Dr. Evil's a good example. All right, the ICC issued an arrest warrant for Dr. Evil in November 2024, accusing him of starvation as a method of warfare and committing crimes against humanity, including murder and persecution. It also alleges that Dr. Evil intentionally directed an attack against the civilian population in Gaza. Last week, New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani moved away from a prior view to arrest Dr. Evil should he fly to his city in a few months for the annual UN General Assembly. It is clear that we do not have an independent legal authority to enforce this warrant against Dr. Evil. The federal government, however, does, Mamdani said in a video posted to X. And I call on them to join the ICC and execute the warrant against Dr. Evil. Israel and the U.S. do not fall under the rulings of the ICC, with both countries never having ratified the court's founding treaty. The ICC, however, asserts jurisdiction over Palestinian territories. 47% of respondents in the Economist poll said that they believe Dr. Evil is guilty of war crimes in Gaza, while 24% disagreed and 29% were unsure. The Economist poll took place between July 25th and 27th. So when did this take place? Oh, I see. All right. So this is how people feel right now. All right. So you see how I replaced the name Netanyahu with Dr. Evil? And it reads like more normal, right? You're like, okay, so it's not the prime minister that's elected into government from the citizens that runs the country. It's an evil supervillain that wants to destroy the earth. Like, that sounds much more accurate now, doesn't it? So, like, why don't you ever hear anybody else say that? I know you hear people on the new media side say that or whatever. No one in establishment media will ever call them out specifically. World Jewry, international Jewish power, but concentrated locally in Israel under the current Likudnik government. Right? And you can say, oh, well, we want the alternative. Let me take another sip of water. Fool sip. we want Naftali Bennett. You know, we want the moderate Israeli, we want the opposition party. They're talking about war with Turkey. They're talking about war with the UAE, not the UAE, they're friends with UAE, talking about war with Qatar. Like that's, you don't really get moderate over there. All we can do is be like the parent and say, no, we're taking the car keys. You're 9 years old and you're a criminal. You don't know how to drive. It's like, LaMilton Tayshaun from the Boondocks. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you're watching this right now and you're a real G. The Boondocks, created by Aaron McGruder, like one of the greatest shows ever made. LaMilton Tayshaun, smoking cigarettes with his friends, is like a 10-year-old boy, steals his mom's car, and it's based off a classic thing of like a little kid did actually do this, like having fun with cigarettes or smoking cigarettes, just what we do. And the mom says, oh, well, he's a good boy, he's a good kid, he doesn't know anything. And then he almost gets Riley killed. It's basically the exact situation that we're in right now. And the fact that we live in a country where it's hard to get half of Americans to agree on anything. We live in a country where, overhead shot. We live in a country where half of Americans want this guy in a prison, right? And then our country is giving him giant bags of money. Giant bags of money. You can see that right there. The giant bag of money that we're giving it to Netanyahu. And then you get nothing. Anti-Semite. Isn't that liberal? So how does that feel? As a deal, how does that arrangement work exactly? Do you feel good at home? You feel like you're as an American citizen, you have an impact on the system, and you know, or your party, oh, like you're a good voting Republican, and you really got the impact. Dr. Evil is in our country. They just voted to give Dr. Evil another $100 billion. They just voted to give Dr. Evil access to a $1.5 trillion defense budget. They just gave Dr. Evil. They just appointed Mini-Me as the Undersecretary of War at DOW. They just made Mini-Me ascendant in Section 219 of the NDAA. He's ahead of every single other department head at DOD. Think about that. $1 million? How about 1 million American lives? That number in the movie in Austin Powers is supposed to be comical, right? Because inflation or whatever, like asking for $1 million, like kind of it is what it is. Like a supervillain threatening to blow up the earth wouldn't do that. But like 1 million American lives, like that seems like a pretty, you know, expensive deal to make. But we're run by Dr. Evil. Your country is run by Cobra. Your country is run by Orochimaru. Your country is run by the Akatsuki. Your country is run by Frieza. Like, these people are evil. They're pure Voldemort, whatever, Darth Sidious, like every single evil archetype. And the proof of that is that they flaunt it. And he comes over here and flaunts it, and he mocks us. And every single person in Congress, damn near, left, right, center, whatever that means, you name it, they all stand up and they give Netanyahu like 12 standing ovations every single time he's in office. When he is in office. Right? Yeah, go ahead and play LaMilton Tayshaun. Go ahead. This is Israel. Oh, can we turn on audio? Old,
few his age have ever driven an SUV up and down several busy streets. It all started at his mother's townhouse. Letarian says he took the car keys and hopped into his grandmother's Dodge Durango.
When I came through the back door, I looked on the counter. My keys were gone.
I took my grandma's car because I got mad at my mom. And then I suddenly had my friend come in, and he smoked with cigarettes.
He started the vehicle and put it into gear.
I yanked it.
That's Israel.
And off they
went.
Yeah,
I did genocide.
7-year-olds alone on the road. Letarian so drove what? Several miles through Lake Park in Palm Beach Gardens.
We got the one call that I told you about of a driver in the vehicle who looked too short to be able to see over the steering wheel.
Along the way, he ran over two mailboxes, hit two parked cars in a Costco parking lot, and struck two moving cars near Walmart.
God promised him that mailbox 3,000 years ago.
Fun to do bad things and drive into a car.
But did you know that you could perhaps kill somebody?
Yes, but I wanted to do hood stuff for my friend.
It all ended on Investment Lane.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's where Letarian hit the curb and sideswiped the sign. The SUV took most of the beating, snapping off one of his axles and wheels.
It's a flesh wound.
A grandmother's rage.
I want to whip his behind. That's what I want to do right now. If I thought they wouldn't take me to jail, I'd whip his behind right now.
You don't think he should
Pause
be punished
it.
For all of it?
I mean, that's the perfect analogy for the U.S. Oh, we'll punish Israel. We promise we'll punish Israel. but if we punish Israel, you know, we're going to get in trouble because we did the same stuff. It's the perfect analogy. 1 million American lives. And here's the thing. You should be able to do hood rat stuff with your friends. You should be able to commit genocide and get away with it. You should be able to burn an entire country down. What's wrong with that? What, are you anti-fun? Are you anti-empire? Are you anti-American success? That's what American success has turned into now. The only thing you can be proud of are the relentless wars they get us into. We are the person trapped in the car with LaMilton right now. And not even that. We're not even Riley anymore. Maybe the American people are Riley. The American government is the mother who says, oh, well, you know, if I did what I wanted to do, they'd throw me in jail, which is just another cop out. There's no accountability here. Let's pray for LaMilton. Let's hope he's doing all right. But I don't think he's doing all right. Let's go ahead and show this. He was arrested in a carjacking. It's a bit of a problem. You know, we had high hopes for LaMilton.
Right, and Latarian Milton spent about 10 minutes in court this morning. He learned that he will not be able to.
All right. That's all we need. All right. So the idea, and I'm just referencing this because it's for a part of the classic Boondocks cartoon. The idea that there's no accountability for a foreign power that we fund and that we're directly responsible for, it doesn't work long term. It's not a reality that can be accepted by the international community and not one that can be accepted by the American people. And I just played that clip with Laura Loomer, which is pretty insane. Let's go ahead and go to clip number 8, which is, you know, kind of, you know, another allegorical representation of what's going on with Trump. Go to clip number 8.
Things have been a lot different ever since I got bit by a radioactive Epstein.
Uh-oh.
You know, Jeff, I never thanked you for introducing me to my wife.
Ouch! Jeff, what the hell was that for? What is happening to me?
Oi. Oi. Oi, man.
Pretty incredible, right? Dude, hell yeah, this is what I voted for. Alright, and I guess the competition is not MJ and Gwen Stacy, I guess it's Zelensky and Netanyahu. And that's the real war. That's like, who do you stand in that situation? Okay, I also had this overhead shot, please. Boy George splits from label manager over pro-Israel song. So I'm going to read you some of the lyrics from this thing, and it's grotesque. And this is the idea that, like, rich people have that are in these communities of people that support genocide and murder. And they're just insulated from it, so they don't realize what they're doing, what they're saying. This is going to be in the history books type of stuff. And not even, like, in decades, like, in under a decade, like, very, very soon. This is horrible. So he wrote a song that's pro-Israel. And notice, it's not a song that's pro-Israel. It's a song that's pro-murder because Israel justifies its existence with that murder. Right, so I'm going to read some of the lyrics to you here. And these are the opening lyrics to the song. But let me read the tweet where he plays liberal really quick. He goes, oh, I'm a liberal. I don't know. I'm a Buddhist. In Buddhism, we understand that every action comes with consequence due to my decision to stand up for my Jewish friends. I am losing a few people from my life. Today, I parted company with Blah Blah, who has run my Blah Blah for a number of years. I wanted to release my pro-genocide song, but he was unequivocal and said, I wanted nothing to do with the song. And I responded with I'm done. So what does the song say? The opening lyrics, you say genocide, I saw war. Well, it's just a genocide, nigga. Like, for real. Like, no cap, for real. It's just a genocide. You can look at the aerial footage of the murder. Entire cities flattened. Entire cities gone. That's what you're supporting when you say that. I don't take this lightly. And you know what? Andrew Wilson said it's a quip. He's smart enough to where he could debate you about that for an hour. The quartering said glass Iran and move on. And then he says it's just comedy, right? That reminds me of this, but this is even worse because it's serious. When you're attacked, that's what the army's for. Killing little kids, barbecuing them alive, killing the women and wearing the lingerie and taking videos in it. Destiny's famous for being on YouTube, telling people to stop videotaping themselves, committing those war crimes. Does it get ugly? You bet it does. So is ugly like the sanctioned prisoner rape? You know, they rape prisoners, right? They rape them with dogs and stuff. And they raped them with people. And in fact, the soldiers, the prisoners, that the thugs that raped the Palestinians, they actually went and received a standing ovation at the Israeli hill, the Israeli Knesset. So you can't really do stuff like this much longer while getting away with it. You can't really call people like us Nazis and say that we're Hitler forever and be liberal and play liberal and then just openly endorse like genocide and mass murder. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna write songs about it. I'm make money off it. What a pig. As a Buddhist, as a pig, that's what it should say. When I know you want to kill every last one of us, he's not even Jewish. He's not even Jewish. It's all like the victimhood fantasy. And like certain white people are like this, certain black people are like this. Like it's just a thing. But like this guy, he's allowed another group's identity to be projected onto him so that he can be used as an instrument for their propaganda. And he probably believes 100% of what he's saying. And if there's ever a chance, Boy George, that you see this, I want you to go look at Rafa before and after, and I want you to tell me that, you know, where I say there's genocide, you say it's a war. No, go watch my interviews with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar, who talks about a woman dragging a pallet behind her with her children's dead bodies on it to the food, where there's no water to prepare the food she's been given, and if she buries her children, she'll be hit with a missile. She'll be shot. That's your war? You go fight. You go put on a war face. You go deliver the food. What a monster. For real. The track's title is an expression Israelis have repeatedly used to express their hopes for the future, meaning that everyone forgets their war crime following the massacre. I mean, you can't even. All right. Its lyrics include a line saying festival goers were murdered for the crime of dancing. They were murdered by your own government. Like that's that you really want a black pill? They were killed in a green flag operation to justify the genocide of the Palestinians, both in the West Bank and in Gaza. That is the reality. The most secure border of any country across the globe, the smallest and the most militarized, the most high tech. And they went over there on paragliders to a festival where everyone was rolling. Like, you want me to believe that when the nearest helicopter base was like, you know, like 10 minutes away, air travel? You want me to believe that when you can look at all the footage, especially on the beach, of very clearly American and Israeli weapons, like only Imperial stormtroopers are this precise? Shout out to episode 4, where you very clearly, the Palestinians couldn't have done those attacks. You have the Hannibal directive where they kill their own people so they're not taken as hostages. This is very real serious stuff that we're talking about here. And people like this, you know, they'll just write a song for the system and they'll just become a part of it. Very, very unfortunate. I want to read something else that's a reality from Politico. And you would say, oh, Rex, I know this. I know this. I'm politically aware. I'm politically alert. Let's talk about the Groypers a little bit. GOP staffers say the party has a Groyper problem. How about a Groyper solution? How about that? How about a solution? How about hashtag pack watch for all the establishment neocon unks that lied to us and destroyed our country? And this is the key. As we all get older, as we work harder, as we advance in our various fields and professions, especially people that are involved with politics, like mainstream party politics, I do believe in the alternative beachhead that we demonstrated we could do in 2016 with Donald Trump. I do believe in that. Now, realizing that one man is not the solution, and in fact, you have to have a framework of incredibly talented people that can be put in around like a central figure, whoever's going to be the president, whoever's going to be like whatever it's going to be. You have to have a network of incredibly talented people. And we just really didn't have that in 2016, 2024. We had a bunch of boomers, a bunch of like super insane war hawks, a bunch of super insane, they're all Zionists, that goes without saying, right? And that's been their priority. That's been their interest. There's going to come a time when the brain trust and the power of this country is that group of people really under age 45. That have been working for decades to insert themselves in various political systems so they can defend the country, just so that they can be proper Americans. It's weird. People inserting themselves into a system to destroy the system because we don't need the system. We need the power of the people. Like that's really what it's all about. And like, it's like Thanos. It's kind of inevitable. Like, this is what's going to happen on the right. It's already happened. You're like selling, pull Brylan Hollihan up, pull nephew up real quick. Pull him up. We're going to look at this. Brylan Hollihan, he's the guy they tried to replace Charlie Kirk with. He's famous. I'm not wasting time or blowing smoke. This is a guy that is just, you know, like, hey, buddy, hey, y'all. Like, I'm the next thing. I'm the new Republican. That's not cool. It's not cool to do the Ben Shapiro, like, Goyim remix. Like, that doesn't fly anymore. You're going to have people that have a historical significance, have to have a severe tie to modern American politics, and no one's representative of that better than Nick Fuentes. So, like, that's going to be your zeitgeist on the right for at least the next decade. And people can war against him, they can spurg out, they can crash out, they can chimp out, they can do whatever they want to do online. The reality of the situation is that's not changing. You can say, oh, but Tucker, oh, Candace. Candace Owens talks about soap opera, Charlie Kirk assassination. She doesn't really do geopolitics. And I know she talks about geopolitics on her show. I know she covers these things, but it's not really her lane. Like, same with Tucker. Tucker does a lot of interviews. Some would say it's kind of like the porridge was too cold, porridge was too hot. Candace doesn't do enough. Tucker does too much. So Nick Fuentes is kind of that happy medium, I think, for a lot of people, especially that are younger in the country, that are looking for that voice that's more representative of them. And you can agree, disagree with that, whatever. But look, this guy is not the next Charlie Kirk. There is no next Charlie Kirk. They took that guy out for whatever, like, whoever did. I don't believe the official story, right? But he's dead, right? And they thought they could skin suit and replace it with some creature creation like this. It just doesn't work, because what life experience does this guy have? What has he gone through? What has he lost? What has he paid? Who does he owe? These are not questions that can be answered. So it's just, it's quite ridiculous that they try to astroturf people like this. And to their credit, people like the Misfit Patriot and whatnot, at least they try hard. You know, at least they're not totally inserted. At least you're trying to game the algorithm for yourself. Shout out to you. Right? Somebody like that, that's a complete grown in a vat lab creation. That's why they fear Nick Fuentes, is because he's independent. That's the whole reason. And because he has that decade of experience, and you can read that here, the staffers are taking over everywhere. They're taking over the GOP. They're taking over Heritage Foundation. They've inserted themselves everywhere because that's what Nick Fuentes told them to do, like, nearly over, like, half a decade ago plus. Right? And that's the reality of people that say, oh, when you do a show, you're just talking. It is what it is. No, we're waking people up. You know, we invented the term waking up. Like, screw woke, right? That was taken over and co-opted, and that's evil. We woke people up in the early 2000s to expect what's happening now. We may have missed certain aspects of it. We've learned certain things. That's part of the growth process between us and then you as the audience, as to where we can all get smarter and more empowered. And I do have to say, one thing is for sure, the old world order is going away. And, you know, you can say it's their new world order, AI, technocracy, hellhole. I say the future is what we make it. I think we still got time to stop a lot of this stuff. And if we can have a genuine anti-war, pro-peace movement on the right, I think we can build that coalition that Trump had in 2016 and 2024 and really change the world, especially if we get young men and women to wake up across the country as to the evil we truly face. And that ain't your neighbor. That ain't even Mom Donnie. It's a country called Israel in the Middle East that controls our foreign policy and takes us to total war. I'll see you guys next segment.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Come on now, Bandit. We gotta get this truck on the road.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done?
Let's get a move on.
We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and run, oh, bandit, run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Some devil mind it breaks. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana. And we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down.
We gonna do what they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Yeah, I want to keep reading this article on the Groiper problem. I call it Groiper solution for the GOP. And this is commentary from establishment GOP staffers and people, you know, that are part of the party infrastructure. And they're very afraid, and they're afraid for a reason. They can't stop what's coming. And they know it. So I want to get into it here right now. Conversations with four senior Republican congressional staffers as well as think tank scholars. Oh, I'm a think tank scholar. I'm an analyst and scholar now as well. I declare myself one. Heritage expats, academics who study think tanks and up-and-coming young Republicans reflected a widening generational split and mutual distrust over the issue. We already know what they're talking about on the issue. And that's how key all of this is to American politics. It is the entirety of it right now. The foreign control and dictatorship over our foreign policy is everything the young people care about, and everyone cares about. I'll read this here. Everyone knows what the problem is. The organizations that bring young staffers to Washington, D.C. have spent the last decade prioritizing blind ideology or ideological loyalty instead of competence or intelligence, said a senior GOP congressional staffer granted anonymity to discuss sensitive personal issues. We have a generation of rabid, incompetent idiots. Shout out to the unks, dude. Shout out to the nephews, too. Shout out to our generation, the Zoomers putting in work. Zoomers, LFG, exclamation point, smiley face. There we go. Okay. Of specific concern are those labeled Groypers. I'm a Groyper. Technically followers of the self-described white identitarian. Ooh, it's an evil thing to be proud of being white. Gen Z streamer Nick Fuentes. Like, we're all proud of being white. We like being white. Like, we're not apologizing for that anymore. Okay, that's really like 2015. Gen Z streamer Nick Fuentes, though it's also used as a catch-all term of abuse for young anti-establishment right-wingers, akin to the usage of neocon. Look at the propaganda. The propaganda is so crazy. They're trying to say, because it's not right to call you that when you're a Nick Fuentes supporter, they're saying the usage of neocon is bad. That's a catch. They're calling, dude, that language is so, you, Kathy, you ain't a good writer, Kathy. I caught you real quick. Look at that. A catch-all term of abuse. So if Groiper is a catch-all term for abuse for the young, then calling neocon a catch-all term for abuse for the old, when the old are trying to kill everybody in these Zionist wars, talk about all the politicians up there on the hill, you're damn right they're neocons. We should use that slur. It is a slur. It is disgusting. You should not want to be a neocon. Fuentes, who has millions of viewers and, he's a deep anti-Semite and misogynistic worldview. You're allowed to hate men and do whatever you want, and to hate the Semites, the real Semites, the Palestinians who want to kill them. But, you can't go the other direction. Gain celebrity among young conservatives as a pro-Trump internet personality and far-right campus agitator. Screw you. You're all agitators. These people are all disgusting. He has since turned on the president for his handling of Epstein files in support of Israel and the war of Iran. Since 2024, he was right. Trump did lie, and he was a failure. So I'm going to read this. Prominent conservative commentators have alleged that Groiperism is spreading. It is spreading among younger members of the GOP, including in government. A view backed by examples like the young Trump administration lawyer who admitted to a Nazi streak, blah, blah, blah. Other examples as well. We're going to get back into this after the break. I want to break this down. These people are trying to say that Zionist occupied government is not something you're allowed to say. These people are trying to say that neocon is not something that you're allowed to say. And it's just like the classic example of everyone calling us a Nazi, everyone calling us racist, everyone calling us Hitler. Okay. All right. Maybe I am racist. Maybe I am a Nazi. If you say I am just for walking down the street and being white, even though I treat everybody the same and love everyone created by God, you know, so if you're saying that we're anti-Semitic, if you're saying that we're Groypers, if you're saying that we heil Nick Fuentes because we believe in reality, then maybe we do those things. And that's what self-fulfilling prophecy is. And these people don't know what they've wrought. They have no idea. And I'm scared of it. Everyone should be. Like, because hell is coming and we don't know what it looks like. We do know what one of the factions is going to be in that Mad Max world. That will be the Groypers in Ascendancy. I will cover that into the next segment. We got Matt Murphy, Green Beret, joining us at 4:30. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
The times of brainwashing your children to support Netanyahu at Sunday school and then funneling them into the Young Republicans Club are basically over. You got about, you know, maybe a year or two left to your grift and your propaganda, and then the Groypers are coming and they're going to put it all to an end. We're talking about the future of the Republican Party and what that's going to look like. I'm Rex Jones, the host of The War Room. I'll be joined by Matt Murphy here coming up in 30 minutes. We're looking forward to that. Former Green Beret, a lot of experience like dealing with these radical groups as well. But let's talk about the radical group in our own backyard, because even though this will try to sell you, this article I'm about to continue reading will sell you on the idea that the Groypers are the radical group, the people in power that say that neocon is a slur that can't be used against them, those are the real radicals. So when you understand the Groypers as a return to actually moderate policy, when it comes to how people treat each other, then you'll start to get the movement a lot more. It's a lot more grassroots than you think you expect. And there's a lot more people of all various ages and different backgrounds that are a part of it. Right? It's not just the youth as well. You know, oftentimes older people are very impressed by Nick and what he's able to do. You know, my grandma said he's one of the best. So there you go. How's that for an endorsement? But I'm going to continue reading this and just listen to the propaganda here. But there's a difference. Oh, tell me, Unc. Or aunt, or this lady, a demon witch, whatever. But there's a difference between critiquing military aid to Israel or lamenting the death toll in Gaza. So you're just supposed to do the British cuck thing where you go, oh, it's a tragedy. It's a complete and total tragedy. It's what that British lady who interviewed Tucker, she said, I've been to Gaza. It's a tragedy. And then he goes, oh, who'd you go to Gaza with? She goes, oh, I went with the Israel Defense Force. I went with the IDF. Oh, so you went on a tour? You know, and I talked to Anthony Aguilar. He's been there. He's part of the GHF. He knows the truth. They don't even take him to Gaza. They take him to Egypt. They take him to a fake aid site, like outside of the border. You know, and if you're lucky, you go inside Gaza with the IDF there, and then they probably, you know, they probably hit you with the thing from Men in Black and make you forget. But I'm going to keep reading this. There's a difference between critiquing military aid to Israel or lamenting the death toll in the Gaza war and throwing around terms, throwing around, discrediting it, making it seem juvenile. You got to notice every use of English that they do. Like Zionist occupied government. You're not allowed to say Zog. We live under Zog. Both sides of the political spectrum. They support endless war in the Middle East. There's nothing we can do about it. No war powers resolution gets passed. We do terrorist attacks and genocide. We blew up a school. We blew up bridges, threatening to blow up power plants, threatening to do genocide on these people. We killed their Pope, their supreme leader, their president, all in one guy. But oh no, you can't say, oh, throwing around terms like Zionist occupied government when Netanyahu comes to Congress and he's the only person, the only issue, the only item that ever gets a double standing ovation 12 times over from both the Democrats and Republicans. We've given them the most aid out of any place ever in the history of giving foreign aid. We've given them over $300 billion. Hey, no. Don't talk about that. You're a bigot. as one young GOP operative I know tends to do, he tends to tell the truth. That's pretty cool. Probably go far. Polling shows that the overwhelming majority of young conservatives reject anti-Semitic views, though their support for Israel has dropped significantly from prior generations. Arrest Netanyahu. Put him in Impel Down from One Piece. Put him in prison with Magellan. They are also more skeptical of military intervention than their forebears. We don't want to die at war, you sick bastard. More skeptical of military intervention. Like, I hope you remember me talking about this when you're on the plane or on the boat going to fight and kill Iranians, Russians, Chinese, whatever you want to say. And when you're on that boat and you're thinking about, man, like, maybe I should have protested. Maybe I should have started doing a show. Maybe I should have told my friends, families, neighbors about this. Maybe the year's 2030, you're about to be sent off to die in Myanmar or something. Little prediction there. They're also more skeptical of military intervention. Oh, are you skeptical of it when you're about to die? You know, I bet Tyler, Angel, Sarah, and Michael were very skeptical as they were in the U.S. military base that amounts to a shoebox, that we don't have the Patriots or Thads to defend in Jordan, and they get blown up and executed basically on orders of the president. You know, it's just a little bit of American blood. It's not a war. It's a conflict that became a war, silly, but it's also a war we've been fighting for 47 years. How do you square that? How do you deal with that? All right. The older members of the Gen Z cohort were toddlers on 9/11 and grew up in an era of multi-decade, multi-trillion dollar wars, all true, and found themselves unable to afford homes as they reached adulthood. Many come by their mistrust of GOP orthodoxy, honestly. Like, this is so, like, the people that raped you, overhead shot, please, the people that raped you want you to thank them. Can I just lay it out like that for you? Like, don't get me wrong, but George Bush and Donald Trump are the ones doing these massive wars in the Middle East for Netanyahu, right? Don't get me wrong, but when we're supposed to, you know, root for the Republicans and have them in power, do they have to do anything for us, or are they just supposed to execute Netanyahu's 35-year plan where he brings the cartoon bomb photo to the UN like it's the Looney Tunes and calls for nuclear annihilation of Iran before they can get a nuke or do whatever, even though they ban the bomb? How much longer are we going to do this, man? How much longer are we going to accept the notion that these people actually care about us or prioritize us at all? We're Navy item like 101 on the list, all right? And everyone always says, it's not just Israel, it's all the other lobbies, 100%. 100%, and we're down at the bottom of the list underneath everybody. The American people are totally taken for granted in this country. This is why you're losing the Republican Party to the Groypers. Because the Groypers, they stand for something. And it might be Pepe, it might be a little frog, it might be Nick Fuentes, it might be whatever, right? And you might hate that, you might despise that, but at least it's something real. What do the Republicans have? They have nothing. They never suffer. Trump was given the Reagan deal. He suffered before, he lost money before. He's not losing money now. And with the concept of selling out, you don't have to sell out like all at once. Well, that's what Trump sure as hell seems to have done. So you have to ask yourself, when did it first start to occur? When did it first start to happen? I'm going to keep reading this incredibly pretentious article from Politico. For these young Republicans, their elders' complaints about their generation don't reflect genuine concerns over credentials and experience. They're about winning a debate within the Republican Party. That's an assertion. Like, that's you saying that about people. Look how they disrespect the youth. Yeah, for us young people, you know, everything you just mentioned, the multi-trillion dollar wars, 9/11 going through that, all the different things we had to pay for, bankrupting of the country, not being able to buy a house. Yeah. It doesn't reflect genuine concerns over credentials and experience of the people that created the situation as to what led to us all being broke and then dying in wars. And certainly it's got nothing to do with that at all. Right? Like, imagine the arrogance of believing something like that. It's about winning a debate within the Republican Party. Well, if the Republican Party is our vehicle for change, then you're damn right. We care about the people's credentials and the people's history and track record of what they've done in office. What have these people done that has not screwed us? Seriously. What have these people done that's not at least a pathway to screw us? We're supposed to be proud of net negative migration. We have 600,000 Chinese students coming here. We have more H-1B people being deployed. And this is not Jose. This is somebody coming over from another country, thousands of miles away, that's going to have 12 anchor babies. And like, that's what your grandchildren's future will be. They'll be a minority in their own country, whether you're white, black, Mexican, don't matter. Like, do you want that? You know, we got a pretty cool thing going on here. You want to introduce people from 137 different countries? Also, that Israel can have its wars? They're never going to do that. They're never going to take the migrants. They want us to take the Palestinians. Look at that. Trump pushes in his chair. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Please, please, Bibi. Anything for you. You know, his wife brings over trunks of her dirty laundry. And she says, Trump, get on your knees and wash it. And he says, absolutely, it's what I do. I do it anything for Israel. Look, he's even wearing a blue and white tie and outfit. He said, Bibi's like, I like it when you dress up for me like that. I like when you put on the blue and white. Anything for you, Bibi. Anything to make you happy. I even made JD do it. JD Vance, I made him put on the blue tie just for you. So look at his smug rat face. Look at him sitting there. He is the king of America. He owns our country. He owns your ass. If you're American right now and you're in the armed forces, like, this is your daddy. You better start, you know, you change your dad's name in your cell phone, give it his name, and then you get Netanyahu's official state line to the embassy or whatever. Put that in your phone as daddy, because, you know, maybe one day he'll call you and he'll say he needs you to die for Israel directly. And at that point, you put on your little hero boots, hero cape, you say, yes, sir, Netanyahu, and you jump out of that battle bus over Tehran. Who knows? Maybe that's coming. Look, he's sitting behind the fire, the fires of hell. He's literally a princeling demon. One of the lords of hell. Like, he's a monster. He looks like a Keebler elf as well. And this guy runs America. It's just so sick. And like, this is why I'm able to broadcast so often and so many times a day. It's just because it fills me with rage. Think about Americans don't know what's been taken from them. And what's been taken from you is your national sovereignty. The Palestinians, they've had their houses taken from, had their food taken from, had their land taken from, had their children taken from them. But they still have their dignity, as in they still know what they are. They know they're Palestinian, they know they're Gazan, they know they're from that land, right? And their parents have been there genetically, can prove it thousands of years, unlike the Eastern European Israelis. We don't know who we are anymore. We don't know who we are to a degree where this guy comes in and runs our state, runs our nation, controls our foreign policy. Oh, you, that's a bit extreme, you know, maybe our relationship with Israel needs to be reworked, but it's not really that crazy, not really that bad. He gave Trump a golden pager. The pagers are bombs they killed the Hezbollah people with. Okay, open criminal threats all the time, talking about how America is very easy to maneuver and Trump can be maneuvered and manipulated, calling the Palestinians Amalek, and then we co-sign that by proxy by giving them the weapons and missiles they used to commit their genocide. This guy is Darth Sidious 2.0. This guy is Chucky. This guy is Freddy Krueger. Like, he is as bad as it can be. And Americans aren't aware of that because, like the example of the dodo bird, we're so isolated from any sort of like critical trauma or stress, meaning like societal breakdown, a consequence of our wars, having to fight in one of these conflicts domestically here at home, having the homeland threatened. We've never experienced that. So we literally just waddle around. And then whenever the Israelis tell us an outrageous lie about like, oh, it was the Palestinians. They're so crazy. They just want to kill us for no reason. We don't have any frame of reference. We just say, oh, well, that must be true. Look at that. To President Donald J. Trump, our greatest friend and greatest ally, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Press with both hands. That's the bomb message. Okay? Go ahead and find. Oh, man, it's leaving my head right now like a little birdie, and it's flying away from me. Oh, no. Netanyahu, in his office, he has the vaccine behind glass. He has it framed. Go ahead and find that. And that's something that he and Trump have in common. You see, Trump is very proud of Operation Warp Speed. He's very proud that he's the father of the vaccine. He's very proud of everything he did with Fauci, too, which is just crazy. Like, and that's one of the big cognitive dissonance things on the right, where it's like, oh, we love RFK Jr., we love MAHA, but then we accept it when Trump is the father of the vaccine and brags about mRNA technology. And it's someone, I think it was Lionel, had a tweet where they're like, who has disappointed you the most out of anybody? And like, the obvious answer is Trump. Right? Like, they'd be lying if you didn't say that was your number one pick. But obviously, everybody's going to say that. So you have to think more critically. And you have to look at that. Look at that. The father of the vaccine and the mother of the vaccine. The unholy relationship. Trump and Netanyahu, they had a baby and it was a needle and a syringe. Netanyahu, more like needle and syringe. There you go. Netanyahu keeps syringe from coronavirus vaccine on display in his, ooh, it's the one that he got too. That's even sicker. All right. My bad. All right. We're going to keep getting into the news. We're going to cover more things. I have Matt Murphy coming up. Please dump that crew. I really apologize. Really sorry about that. Let's go ahead and talk about Israel Katz, the Israeli Defense Ministry. Let's play clip number 15.
אני ביקרתי לפני שבוע, בעזה, גם ראיתי מנהרות שעדיין נחשפות, מנהרות עצומות, כן, okay. והם סקלים אותם. הייתי בסג'איה. וכשהייתי בביקור הקודם, הסג'איה הייתה מחולקת. חלק בקו הצהוב, היום אין סג'איה. אין ג'באליה, כל המקומות הנוראים האלה, שאתה זוכר?
כן.
Pause it. Okay, he's literally saying the 100-year-old cities, the 1,000-year-old millennia-old cities, he's bragging about it, they don't exist anymore. He's saying, oh, they say, oh, I don't see any homes today. I see the sea, talking about the Israelis that are happy about it because it's like that Tim Heidecker meme. It's free real estate. And that's what it's all about for these people. And watch on the new InfoWars. Ooh, pan back to me. On the new InfoWars, they'll never talk about that. Do a special hour on Palestine. Talk about the genocide, Tim Heidecker. You know, it's all funny to use us for satire and whatever, to take our name and pervert our image and try to do your own graven copy. Or whatever you're going to do, whatever archetype you're trying to raise up. Why don't you do an hour on the Palestinians? Seriously, because it's very interesting that I can come on the new network and I could literally, and I will do that this week. I'll at least do a full hour on the Palestinian genocide. I can do that with no censorship, with total support. You'll never do that because the people that own you won't let you. That's the reality. That's how you can tell we're real and they're not. And that's why we got to be on the right side of this issue, because this issue is everything. You wouldn't have the war in the Middle East if it wasn't for the Palestinian issue. You have to understand the Islamic identity of the Middle East between Sunni and Shia. These people, they hate each other, they fight each other, they kill each other, but they all understand the Palestinians are their brothers and sisters, and they're being murdered by Israel. So ultimately, when everyone talks about the Islamic threat and the Islamic enemy, imagine if you have people unite in the Middle East. Imagine if you have 100 million Muslims, or like way more than that, because Iran's 90 million alone. At least half the population is Muslim. You have hundreds of millions of Muslims all collectively adopting a global identity about stopping Israel from killing the Palestinians and then like securing their own destiny. And then people on the right will be like, oh, you want to back the Democrats. And it's just like, you guys don't even know what you're creating. They're just like mix and matching different chemicals, like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And it's going to be like Mickey Mouse, where you got all these brooms coming out and you're like trying, hey, I was trying to do the opposite. I was trying to do something different. And you don't really have that option. Let's go ahead and play clip number. And I played this yesterday, but I'll play it again. If you criticize Israel, you will be, or actually no, one of us is worth at least 10 million of you. And we'll just play this really quick. I'm not going to talk on it. Just go out of it as soon as he says it. Go ahead and play clip number 17.
It sounds like you're saying one Jewish life mm-hmm. is worth hundreds or thousands of Palestinian lives.
Not million. One Jewish life.
Fine.
It's 10 million.
All right, that's all we need. Like, there you go right there. And then I am told, what did we just read? Hold on. But there's a difference between critiquing military aid to Israel or lamenting the death toll in Gaza. This is the Politico article. So, these two things are acceptable. Labeling our government as a Zionist-occupied government is evil. So where do we fit in the guy that wants to do collective punishment and genocide? Are we allowed to criticize that? Because that's not a part of critiquing military aid or lamenting the death toll. That's about them doing genocide and us paying for it. And you see, if we can't talk about that within your framework, that leads me to believe that we do live in a Zionist-occupied government now, don't we? And that's the reality. Let's go ahead and play clip number 16, proving that even more, Marco Rubio.
Under President Trump, the United States will stand with the Jewish people. We have implemented a vigorous new visa policy that will prevent foreign nationals from coming to the United States to foment hatred against our Jewish community. We are holding international organizations and nations accountable for rhetoric against Israel that resurfaces in the manifesto of monsters.
That's all we need. So see how it starts off at first with the Jews and then it becomes Israel. You really don't want those two things to be the same. And that's what Netanyahu is doing. and just like the Israelis in general, in order to preserve their state and grow it, to do the Greater Israel Project. That is the greatest act of, like, they could say people generate anti-Semitism or whatever. Like, that is, like, literally retarded that you would do that. It's like gain-of-function research. Like, Nick Fuentes is like Corona, is like COVID-19, basically. Like, they created him. Like, they created all of us, really, by doing this stuff out in the open and then bragging about it and then saying that we can't call it what it is, which is very clearly a Zionist-occupied government. Just say no to Zog. It's that simple. Just say no to Bog, Boomer-occupied government, like, all these things. Like, it's just, it's a reality. Because if you can't vote against it on either side, then we are occupied. And look, they're a bunch of chuckle buddies, man. Hanging out with each other. Netanyahu, Marco Rubio, Smotrich, Ben-Gavir. I thought we got something different. I thought we got Trump and he was supposed to be America first, not America last, not MIGA, not M-I-G-A. Make Israel great again. Make Iran great again. He said it. Can we find the Trump MIGA tweet, please? Because people won't believe me. But he said it. He said, make Iran great again. It really means make Israel great again. Ooh, it's just so foreboding. Netanyahu is such an evil person. You can just tell. Ben-Gavir is like cartoon bad. He's like a cartoon villain, you know, like he's definitely got like the princess in a cage above like lava or something, right? Netanyahu is much more insidious. He's like the bear from Toy Story 3. That's how I describe Netanyahu. Oh, I'm your fro. I'm the buddy. Well, we have to have our slave trade. We have to have our genocide. We have to allow for hierarchy. Well, we just, you're tougher. You can handle more forced labor. It is what it is. And that's the path to Animal Farm. That's the path to 1984. Look, get the crud off your teeth. I guess there's probably more crud on his teeth now in the current situation that he's in. RIP to the realest neocon and real MIGA in the game, Lindsey Graham. It's not politically correct. This is Trump. To use the term regime change, of course, it's a regime change war from day one, but if the current Iranian regime is unable to make Iran great again, why wouldn't there be a regime change MIGA, M-I-G-A? So he said it, I can say it whenever I want, my president said it, my president's orange and my Lambo is blue. And President Trump voted or wanted to screw you, so it is what it is. And just look at this. Almost 900,000 legal immigrants have been naturalized over the past 12 months. Dude, so much winning. Dude, so much net negative migration from Don Zhu, you know, Chinese Emperor Don. You know, almost 900,000 legal immigrants, you know, got to have those 600,000 Chinese students, right, have been naturalized over the past 12 months, while fewer than 800,000 illegal immigrants have been deported. Net negative. Huh. So it's almost like things aren't as good as they tell us, and they just are more selective with the people they're bringing in. It's actually more dangerous. It is more dangerous. Like, it's more dangerous what's going on right now. You have people that can get 30-year mortgages. That's not 4D chess. That's giving people a checkerboard and, like, you know, like slapping yourself in the face. Like, it's literally spiteful. That you're going to bring people over here that are going to outcompete Americans for American jobs. And you say, oh, well, you don't like it. That's a meritocracy. That's a meritocracy. There's nothing that's a meritocracy about it. If that was a meritocracy, then all that would live around the world were invasive catfish, whatever they're called, the armored catfish. If we can look this up, crew, the armored catfish would take over all rivers, all creeks, because, hey, it outcompetes everything, right? It has more kids. So is that the world we're going to live in, where people are just economic units, or does everybody, regardless of race, color, and creed, deserve a homeland, deserve a nation, deserve a history, and to be proud of that history and their people? I'm firmly in the latter camp, and that's why ultimately you're going to see old Uncle Donald and all these people, whether it's Rubio or Vance, they're going to fall by the wayside, and we're going to have that new movement within the party, and it's probably going to look a lot like the Groypers. So that's my breakdown on that. We're going to be joined next segment by Matt Murphy, social media phenom, a lot of podcasts, also former Green Beret, combat veteran. We're going to get into a lot of the geopolitical reality. I want to talk Abraham Accords versus BRICS. Very interesting segment coming up. I'm taking calls in the third hour. I'll see you all very soon. Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter.
Filter your water. Stop turning my frog friends gay. This I command.
TheAlexJonesStore.com. Fight the globalist takeover now.
A scarlet martini before breakfast? You minx. Are you trying to outdo me in corruption? Or shall we make it a team effort?
Of course not, darling. This is Methylene Red from TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The Ultramethylene Red, madame. Bold, refined, and unapologetically potent. It optimizes cellular energy at the deepest level, delivers razor-sharp cognition, and ignites a warm, invigorating rush that spread through every vein.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot.
Well, oh, I've said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It was like Theo Vaughn, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. And he's there with Sean Johnson, the Navy SEAL guy that I'd known for years, wasn't really friends. Sean goes, fine, I'll train you. I'll meet you every morning. And I said, all right, let's do it. And then I lost like 70 pounds, and I kind of halfway cut back and gained back 10. But now I'm back to where I was. I'm going to go even lower. But the whole point is that Joe goes, you know, you're your own worst enemy. You think the globalists are going to kill you. You're killing yourself. And so that's where Masterpiece comes in. That's where doing all this comes in. I mean, this is real, folks. Methylene Blue works. Bovine colostrum works. This, getmasterpiece.com. The Masterpiece is unbelievable.
We are at a crossroads with the survival of the human species. And the people that have all the resources and all have spelled that out very clearly to us. And the things that they are putting inside of our body to complete that, mission. You gotta get out. The fact of the matter is, zeolite, which is one of the main ingredients of Masterpiece, has been proven in all ways to remove every toxin that it's looked at grabbing. It performs, that's why it's called the Master Binder.
But yours is different.
Completely different.
Because it doesn't just pull stuff, it brings in the key C minerals.
Yes, absolutely. So any way that you would actually test Masterpiece out, which would be like its pH, its molecular composition, its molecular ratio, if it's isotonic and whatnot, it is identical to blood plasma. Talking about marine plasma, sea plasma, minerals, it is the same molecular composition as your blood profile. And so why does that matter? Blood is life. When you are grabbing the problem with our bodies, with the toxins in there, which is disrupting how our bodies perform on every level, it's literally made our bodies mineral deficient. Toxins take the place of minerals. So when the Masterpiece is carrying in minerals, when it takes a toxin, it's giving the perfect minerals right there at that time. That's why everyone that looks at the testing, whether it's our hair tissue mineral analysis practitioners, our blood testers, which we've done three different independent third-party labs doing different blood testing, they've never seen results like this.
Yeah, so regular zeolite just pulls out bad stuff but doesn't replace it. This is zeolite with a good thing, pulls out bad, it goes bloop, good.
Yeah, yeah. Our bodies are magical if you get the poisons out.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We've got a lot to cover and a lot to get into this segment. I'm being joined by former Green Beret, Matt Murphy. I got a lot I want to talk to him about. But I want to remind the audience right now, we're in the middle of a world war. It doesn't just stop day by day. We hear about, there's going to be a ceasefire. There's going to be a new round of negotiations. We're dealing with something that can change minute by minute, day by day. And only someone that's been involved in warfare combat can truly understand that. That's why we interview so many phenomenal guests like Matt, like Joe Kent, like Anthony Aguilar, and a whole host of others. Brian McGinnis as well. Crew, we have him? Not yet. He said that he was on. So I sent him the Zoom link. I just want to make sure. But we will go ahead and get into a little bit of news before we do that. If we just wait for him to get connected. Let's go ahead and play again so you can be reminded of what's going on right now in the country. Let's go ahead and play clip number 7 on the people that have attacked us over and over again. Play the Laura Loomer clip.
I know that I am the person who informed the president of everything that Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens and Alex Jones were saying about him. And despite preparing a lot of these reports for the White House, it's my understanding a lot of this information was not given to him or explained to him in full, which is alarming because you have to ask yourself who surrounding the president is serving as a gatekeeper for the woke Reich.
All right, so that's the domestic priority. Now I want to play the foreign priority. Let's go ahead and play clip number. Go ahead and play. I just saw it on here. All right, clip number 11, IDF general taking total control of the battlefield. Go ahead and play that clip.
And you spoke about AI, you spoke about autonomy. Other than that, what do you think would be the next breakthrough that would fundamentally change Israel's battlefield advantage when it comes to defense tech, whether it be from the big primes or from the Israeli startups?
It's all in there because if you will know how to connect the great intelligence that you have today to trace thousands of targets, and by using an AI methods, adjust those targets to an attacking cheap, fast, rapid elements, and manage to control the battlefield in a way that you can operate it in seconds. We saw what Israel managed to do in Iran and in Lebanon, but that's something that we prepared more than a decade. The simultaneously attack that demolished the Hezbollah years of preparation of missiles and rockets and launchers. So I believe that this is the next phase, and hopefully we'll see it sooner than later.
So this is the expansion of the conflict. They have to have the conflict because their entire defense industry, really just entire domestic economy, revolves off of war just like ours does, right? Remember, war is a racket. This is big industry. This is big business for these people. They make a lot of money with it. And the same reason why they're running the AI companies, they're in charge of that, is because the first real place you test the highest capability of that is at warfare, during warfare. And their goal of owning the battlefield, whether that's instant deployment of different booby traps and mines, instant deployment of different drone technology, drone jamming technology, different radar systems, early detection systems, missile defense, missile offense, this is everything that they are said to be in ascendancy over in the NDAA. We constantly refer to this over and over again. Do not forget, they cared so much about you noticing it, they changed it from Section 224 to Section 219. They changed a little bit of the wording, but it's all the same. The NDAA appoints an executive agent over every other head at DOD. This person is essentially an undersecretary of war, the same as the secretary of war, secretary of defense, and only answers to the president. They have a once-a-year congressional review where they have to submit everything classified and unclassified unless it's like a real matter of national security. Then they don't, which means that's a write-off for literally everything. The language is purposely vague and kept and maintained a certain way that a lawyer can use it to control everything. Oh, that's not going to happen. They can't do that. The government would never do that to you. What time is it? Is it tariff o'clock? Did Howard Lutnick write the tariff policy and did he make sure it was illegal and be struck down by the Supreme Court because he bought shorts against it? And then his family made billions of dollars off that? If that would happen there, it could also happen here. So are we joined by our guest yet? All right. All good. Totally good. I want to talk to him about this. I think he can stay for another segment. So that's really the only reason why I'm trying to get to that is because I want to talk to him about all of this. The idea of the Abraham Accords versus BRICS and what that represents. And what I always talk about is we have to project our power so far thousands of miles away because we don't do it for ourselves. It doesn't ultimately serve American interests to fight these wars in the Middle East. We could have gotten much better deals through negotiation and cooperation with these countries other than just deciding, hey, we'll just kill them. Right. But that was Israel's policy. So that became our policy over time. Joining me to talk about that and a lot more is former Green Beret, Matt Murphy. Matt, I was looking for your Instagram. What happened?
They got me, man. I was on my phone the other night, and this notification went up, clicked on it, and they're like, you're deleted.
Right.
Basically, they suspended my account. I have an appeal in, but now when I go to check the status of my appeal, that it won't even pull my account up anymore.
That's crazy.
I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I'm gone then.
I want you to give people your background. I want you to tell them, like, we've had conversations, had numerous conversations, had you on, I think, both of the shows, and really enjoyed our time there on New American Journal. Tell people about what you're about and why you really had to take a stand on all this.
Oh, definitely, man. So I retired from the military. I was a Green Beret. I served in a 5th Special Forces group. And during the middle of my service, I was detailed to the CIA. I was worked on a certain project there that I can talk about now, because Trump's pretty much put it out there, is that the CIA was pretty much directly involved with, incidentally or intentionally, depending on how you look at it, creating ISIS. And then we funded, equipped, and trained ISIS and the fighters for about 5 years. Now, you know, we didn't call them ISIS, and, you know, they said they didn't know that, you know, when they went over there. But, you know, I'm sure the people up top knew, you know, they always do. So after that experience, and went back into 5th Group, deployed to Syria a few more times. And during one of my deployments, my younger sister, Sarah, was killed in a human trafficking incident. So I decided to do something to fight human trafficking after that. Started a charity called Operation Lightshine, partnered up with Tim Tebow, and now there's task forces around the country fighting human trafficking at the state level. Also ran the Sentinel Foundation, own an intelligence agency, so I'm very involved in global intelligence operations. I built intelligence agencies for a couple of different nation states. And yeah, man, so I've just done a whole lot of everything in the intelligence and special operations world, speak Arabic fluently, lived all over the Middle East. And, you know, just over that time, I guess, you know, having to understand all the theology from Islam to Judaism, Christianity, working in the Middle East, because that's the driver of a lot of the things that happen. You know, I became pretty much an expert on theology. So after they killed Charlie Kirk, I just started speaking out and, you know, trying to tell people the truth. And I, you know, I just really don't care anymore, because, you know, I think we're in the last few years of America. At least that's their plan, because I know their plan and I was a part of it. So
just I agree. It's World War E, it's World War Energy, World War Epstein, whatever you want to call it. What do you think about people that, you know, they deny we're even in a war still?
Well, I think a lot of people, again, we live in a country of bread and circuses. So many people are brainwashed, and this is intentional. You know, they have, even starting, if you go back all the way to television programming, right? The agency has intentionally pushed and created so many mechanisms to distract you. You know, now you have so many people that just sit there and watch reality TV. They watch other people live their lives and just sit on their couch. You know, the whole country's programmed, man. You know, we live in echo chambers on social media now. Everybody is getting different news, different information. I think most people just don't even know what's going on outside of their home anymore, much less understand how fragile the existence of our country is and this global situation. I mean, you know, when you control people's minds and you control what they see, that's a perfect clip, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're literally, you know, believe that everything's okay because their little bubble is okay. And that's the power of psychological warfare, is you can keep people in a little bubble. The world can be burning around them just like that pig. I mean, that's the way I describe it all the time. And they just don't have a clue.
Right. And that's the normalcy bias that you're talking about. Break that down more for people. We talk about that all the time here on the network.
Yeah. So, you know, if you don't see it, and if it's not part of your daily life, then it doesn't exist, right? It's not true. That's why I had so much trouble fighting human trafficking and getting people to get behind that fight, because it's really hard to convince people that in every city in this country that children are being trafficked and sold for sex and having terrible things happen to them, because they don't see it. It's just not a part of their purview, or, you know, it's not happening in the suburbs or the people who have money that donate. What is, but it's those are the people doing it. You know what I mean? And so there's this ability to keep people in their echo chambers. And as long as you can make their world feel like it's safe, then as long as it doesn't feel like it's burning, and as long as you can keep them distracted from even seeing the problems in their own neighborhood, then they're just not going to wake up to reality.
Right.
And, you know, that psychological warfare aspect of this, because I've been a part of multiple campaigns. I've never ran one because I was on the operations side. You know, we got a lot of interactions with those people, especially the agency. And those people are the evil that they will go to is almost unparalleled. Put it this way. We overthrew Iraq and destabilized Iraq with Pornhub and friends. I just want you to think about that for a second. So if you look at, you know, if you look at Iraq and you think about how, you know, they were a very strict Islamic, you know, country. You know, there was a very traditional version of Islam, you know, when Saddam was in power. And if you take friends and you put it on every TV show in the country, and now women can watch other women drive cars, have promiscuous sex, own their own apartments, have jobs, sit at the table with men, do whatever they want, buy their own things, you know, tell men what to do, live, you know, live on their own. Well, women start to subconsciously get programmed and they're like, well, wait a second, I want that life. So you don't tell them Islam is wrong. You make show them all the things about Islam that make their life unfair or strict or, you know, oppressed. So little boys, we put free porn all over the internet. And that's where Pornhub really was born, to destabilize the Middle East. That's why the porn was free, because it got little boys to be able to see a vagina and a woman and boobs and, you know, be able to start, you know, having something to masturbate to. But the difference in a society like that with a society like ours is it made the little boys want to go get it. So now they're trying to talk to girls and have girlfriends and break the rules and risk everything, you know, just to get them some, right?
Right.
You know, so it's that powerful. It just took Pornhub and friends to make people revolt against Islam and start to, you know, question the reality. And that spread like wildfire through the Middle East.
That's a phenomenal breakdown. I want to get back to the Middle East. We're having a text conversation about this. I think it's kind of tied in, related. Zelensky literally played the president on TV. Like he played the president. Like, you can't write this stuff. I mean, he's Kevin Spacey. Like for real. And then the narrative now of him being the hero and coming in to try to save Trump and Netanyahu. And then they have Laura Loomer, who writes articles or wrote articles for Russia Today, now making like a heel turn pivot. And people eat this stuff up, man. Are the psychological warfare campaigns that simple to run?
They really are. Well, because, you know, you take someone and you put them in a perceived position of power. Like, they do have real authority, right? They are sitting in those seats. And I mean, if you look at a lot of the world leaders, a lot of them are actors. A lot of them are celebrities. Now think about that. These people were puppets already, you know? I mean, Zelensky used to, you know, dress up and drag and dance and do comedy skits.
Right.
You know what I mean? And now he's the president of a country. You know, Trump was a, you know, a reality TV celebrity. And oh, there we go. You know, so, you know, when you see this kind of stuff, how is that guy the leader of a country like Ukraine? You know, why would the people elect a person like that? Now, you know, I get it. Maybe he's just doing it for funny. I'm sure there's a lot more than funny behind that. But, you know, I'm not going to speak on things I don't know. But why would you elect a guy to be your president, to lead your country through war and through all the trouble that it's in? And he's obviously always on cocaine.
Yes. Can we have this conversation? All right. Mm-hmm. I'm not a little angel baby. I've been sober for a long time and I take care of myself. Mm-hmm. Not advocating for anything. But this is clear cokehead behavior. Like he's on drugs. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think you kind of have to be. I mean, when you look at Trump, I mean, Trump's a puppet. He's not making those decisions.
He's on speed.
You know, they're not putting men of principle in positions of power. They're not putting men with backbones and morals in positions of power. And I think that's why they go after actors and people that are homosexual, people that have you know, drug addictions. Hey, I've had my moments too, man. You know, I think a lot of men have.
Right.
And when you look at the framework of someone who you would put into power, if you wanted to control a puppet, you wouldn't get someone with strong religious convictions. You would likely not get someone who's served in the military, who's fought, who's taken lives and saved lives. You would pick someone who's an actor, who's a puppet, who, you know, sells themselves for money. I mean, how many men would put on tights and dance and do it on TV?
Play the piano with your penis. That's what he did. He played the piano with his dick and then he's the president. Exactly.
Exactly. So it's like they're laughing at us, man. You know, the power that they have, and you know, I take everything back to this is the battle of good versus evil. You know, I follow Jesus. I've seen so many things in my life, to just confirm the reality of good versus evil, God and the devil, and all these things that are going on behind the scenes. And even if people are starting to fall away to religion or push even more towards it now, you know, the thing people have to remember is the people that are in power, the people in charge, they even openly say it. They're doing all these things with religious objectives. Even now he's talking about greater Israel and the chosen lands. And, you know, Trump's even saying that now.
Let's get into it. Can you do an extra 30 minutes with me as well? Can we go into hour number three here with you? You want to do 5 to 5:30?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
so we got like 8 minutes here left on the clock. I want to get into this, and we can revisit it after the break as well if you have more. The Abraham Accords versus BRICS and how that all ties into it, and how really like Greater Israel and them rebuilding the Third Temple is central to their plan.
Yes, 100%. Well, so I'm going to take it back a little bit. This all started with the Rothschilds movement to control the banks, right? So Rothschilds have monopolized European banks, started to move into a lot of other countries. If you look at World War One and World War Two, they were bankers' wars. That's it. All they were trying to do is destabilize countries that didn't have Rothschild national banks, establish a Rothschild bank, and then they control the banking system. So even though, you know, even up to World War II, there were a bunch of different countries in the world, all these countries were, you know, a majority of the countries were monopolized in the same banking system. So if you control the money, you control the interest rates, you control that, you control the country, right? You know, all wars are bankers' wars. It kind of like goes back to Game of Thrones, right? Where even the most powerful king had to go to the bank. You know,
sure,
and ask for money. You know, so for America, this got really bad in 1913 when they created the Federal Reserve outside of the control of the U.S. government, right? So now you have Rothschild, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan Chase, and among others, you know, creating the Federal Reserve, a private institution that controls our money, our interest rates, and essentially our economy, right? So, you know, they have a chairman appointed, but that chairman just advises. He can't tell them what to do. The president can just request the Federal Reserve to change interest rates or make decisions. So we no longer control our money. So if you control the money, you control America. All right. So fast forward to 71. You know, they have already gotten their foothold, the global bankers into America, started to take over everything. You know, I mean, we could go on for days about all the things they took over up to 71. But this is the key point that's going to matter for what we're talking about. In 71, Nixon took us off the gold standard, and that was the day that America really started, if you go back, to fight endless wars, because at that point, now we based the value of our dollar on petrol. So what we did is we used the U.S. military as gangsters, as the mafia, if you will, and we would go around the world, and we would force people to use the U.S. dollar and the SWIFT transfer system to buy and sell oil. The only country in the world that did not buy and sell oil with the U.S. dollar up until Trump raided Maduro in Venezuela was China. Everyone else bought and sold oil with U.S. dollar. That's what gave the U.S. dollar value, because we had no more gold standard anymore. It was just the utilization of the dollar. And then consequently, because the U.S. military invaded or kidnapped or killed or, you know, did certain maneuvers to anyone who started to try to do, you know, oil trades outside of the dollar, you know, we had basically the business currency, if you will, like it was the U.S. dollar. So pretty much everyone in the world used the U.S. dollar.
And that was our bullwhip. And that was our bullwhip for a very long time. And we're kind of losing that. So get into that with the rise of BRICS.
Yeah. Well, so the bullwhip now is starting to get interesting because, you know, Maduro started to buy and sell the oil to Russia and China in their own currencies. That's why Trump kidnapped him. That had nothing to do with anything else other than him breaking the rules.
Well,
right?
Explain that really quick. Hold on. We can get into all this because we have a whole other segment. Break that down. I want to cut that clip. The real reason why Maduro was kidnapped / we did the Venezuela operation. Go ahead.
Yeah. So there were two main factors. So one was, he was allowing Russia and China to buy and sell oil in their own currencies directly with Venezuela, which was a big no-no because now you're taking the second largest producer of oil in the world, second to Iran. Funny, we went to Iran next, and you're you know, basically kidnapping their leader, you know, because he started to break the rules. So he set the example. Essentially, what Trump was saying is, hey, you don't play by these rules, we will send the most elite units in the world in, and we will kidnap you, and there is not a damn thing you can do about it.
Right.
That was a message, right? The other thing was, if you go back to December before the raid, J.P. Morgan played a short on silver. They screwed up, and they got a short squeeze to about a tune of $8 trillion December before the raid. And they went to Malaysia, a couple other countries, trying to, you know, hedge their bets and acquire silver and make moves. You know, so the dollar had a serious devaluation in that December that no one knows about because they just print more and lie to you. And Maduro had a very large silver and gold surplus in Venezuela.
You mean we had one? You mean we had it, Matt? We had a surplus that we had to go collect. So.
Well, we have it now. Yeah. We have it now. You know, and that's the problem, man, is we're gangsters.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, you look at 2001, you know, with the weapons of mass destruction and the bad Israeli intelligence that made us invade Iraq. Now, Afghanistan, you know, I think there could have been good things with the Afghanistan invasion had we done that correctly and then secured resources. Now we just turned it over. Now China's taken all the country's resources.
But there's never a plan.
20 years.
There's never
a plan.
Right.
Right. But Iraq was only to destabilize Iraq. And that's what really started to get us to where we're at today. Right. So that invasion of Iraq, we toppled Saddam and we went in there and we destroyed their military, blew up all the tanks, destroyed all their heavy weaponry, you know, killed their leaders. I mean, took out anyone who could make a difference. But most importantly, the equipment. And then we gave them garbage, you know, basically stuff that we could easily blow up and destroy should we need to. And then we trained and, you know, did little things with Iraq. But now Iraq, one of the most powerful countries in the Middle East, had just been destroyed and its leader killed and hung. Right. So as that happened, next guy on the chopping block was Assad. And you got to take out Assad. So I was part of that. You know, I was one of the first Americans to go into the Syria operation. We started building the army that was going to take out Assad. It became ISIS. You know, I thought it was an oops back in the day, but now that I know more, it wasn't. But anyways.
How typical is that, though? how typical is the moderate rebel thing? Really quick, in like 2 minutes, we got left.
The moderate rebel.
Yeah.
So I would say they're typical based on radicalization of movements that we create. Again, it's PSYOPs. You know, the one thing that America and Israel and other European powers do very well is they create the leaders and push a bunch of money into countries that would become our enemies. So that way we can control our enemy. We know what they're doing. We can steer what they do, and then we can use their attacks and their movements to our advantage. One, to keep the military industrial complex rocking and rolling and growing and justify money spent into it. But then two, because, you know, we get to choose when to attack them, when they attack us, and we get to influence it a little bit, right? So, you know, we play our enemies like puppets, and majority of the fighters in those armies have no idea. You know, they're being radicalized, but they don't know that their leaders are CIA guys or Mossad or MI6, and so we're steering them. You know, America created Al-Qaeda, Israel created Hamas, Israel and the U.S. created ISIS. I mean, ISIS fighters get free healthcare in Israel. You know, it's weird. The most evil, radical terrorist regime in the world has never once attacked the Jews. Weird, right?
Hold on. They get free healthcare? ISIS gets free healthcare in Israel?
Yeah. The top officers of ISIS and the fighters get healthcare in Israel now. And the leader, well, former leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and then al-Nusra is now the president. And he was in ISIS too. Is now the president of Syria.
There you go. You're talking about al-Shara, mm-hmm. formerly al-Julani, notorious head chopper. We'll be right back with phenomenal information and more from former Green Beret, Matt Murphy. Thank you so much. Stay with us.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. at FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
We are now back, third hour of the War Room with former Green Beret and geopolitical analyst commentator Matt Murphy joins the show. We're talking on the break about what we're about to discuss, which is Abraham Accords versus BRICS, and really the coming and already here geopolitical war over that reality in Middle East, West Asia, whatever you want to call it. But I remember at the beginning, when I first started doing this again, like a year ago, I remember seeing Reza Pahlavi all over social media. And there are these photos where they make his nose progressively bigger, like Squidward. And it was really funny. So I was like, who is this guy? Like, why should I take him seriously? And then that's how I ended up learning about Iranian history and learning about the Shah and learning about what happened there. So who is this guy? Where does he come from? And he glows in the dark, Matt.
Well, his father was the Shah of Iran, former leader of Iran. And he was installed by a CIA, MI6 and Mossad operation. And you can look all up in Wikipedia. It's a pretty interesting way how they did it. And then he was, of course, when he didn't play ball and he started to speak out against the U.S., there's actually a very famous 60 Minutes clip where he speaks out against the U.S. and Israel and how Israel operates. And the next thing you know, he gets toppled and then they install, you know, the Ayatollah, you know, and then a new government. So, you know, he is, so Reza Pahlavi is the son of the former Shah, and he should not be. He should be probably a Muslim or Shia, somewhere along those lines. And now they have him in Israel all the time. They have the video that they make all their leaders and puppets do where he's kissing the wall.
Oh, no.
Going through the whole, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, they had Reza kiss the wall and do the whole thing. You know, and that's Israel's sign. That's how Israel parades world leaders around, is when they get the world leader or the congressman or the senator, and to show that they're in control of them. That's how Israel does it. It's like mafia stuff. They go, they kiss the wall. It's like kissing the ring, right?
Right.
And so they have him, you know, multiple pictures with Netanyahu and his wife. And, you know, he said that he would, there we go, said that he would recognize, you know, Israel and join in the coalition with Israel if he was put back in power. Now, Trump, against, of course, the advice of the Pentagon and all of our intelligence agencies, said that when it had attacked Iran after they told him not to, and because Trump assumed that he would be able to make them bend the knee very quickly. And you just can't do that because Iran is a hardened nation. They've been preparing for this war for 50 years. You know, majority of their weapons, targeting systems, military equipment is in, you know, bunkers that we can't touch with missiles, deep in the mountains, deep in tunnels and caverns. You know, they've been ready for this. They knew it was going to happen. Majority of this stuff that was left out on the surface, they knew they were going to lose should this day come. Iran is more than ready for this war. So that's why when Trump's like, he was boasting about destroying their army and their navy and, you know, all these things, he was only able to destroy what was out there. And Iran didn't care. And that's why Trump started to next level. And that's why so many generals have quit, so many chiefs of staff have quit, is because he's just not listening. And he won't stop doing these bombing campaigns. And now all Trump is doing is threatening, you know, war crimes and Geneva Convention violations because he's talking about blowing up, you know, power plants and bridges and, you know, doing water, you know, the
no,
water
you're good. He has to, though, because it's in service of the Greater Israel Project. It's what his bosses wanted to do. He's like the manager of the Burger King. And it's like, well, that might be the guy that signs the check, but it's not the guy that owns the franchise, not even the company itself. Like, he's so far derivative 100%. Down. This is what I've realized now We're going to get into all that and more. I want to cover the Abraham Accords with you and the war against BRICS. But I do want to tell people, thealexjonesstore.com. Matt, if you haven't tried our methylene blue, we got to get some to you as well. Over 80% reorder rate. People need to support independent media, support the operation. The highest quality nutraceuticals, highest quality apparel, highest quality hats, t-shirts, water filtration. We've even got the shower filter for people. Ultra Methylene Red, Methylene Blue, Power Plant, Methyl Drive, MK Ultra, Ultimate Life Force. So many phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. Should you guys choose to accept it, that is your mission to help us stay on air and continue the fight, continue giving you real information, because you ain't hearing this on CNN. You ain't hearing this on Fox News. Ain't hearing this from Daily Wire, but you're hearing it from us right here on air right now. Former Green Beret, geopolitical analyst Matt Murphy joins me in the next segment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
It's another powerful War Room Live, War Room Afternoon on the Alex Jones Network. I highly encourage, recommend, beg of you, reshare, repost, live feed, live link, stream. Let your friends and family know what you're watching. They need to know the information that you know. That's why we do things here on the network. And we're live 24 hours a day. Just, hey, like, catch us on rebroadcast whenever you want. Coming home from work, going to work, whatever you want to do, whatever you need. We are always here for you on AJN Live. Talking to Matt Murphy on this geopolitical analyst, talking about the Abraham Accords versus BRICS, and really the reason why, Matt, I often talk about this, why we have to project the power so far away from home.
Yeah. Well, so our dollar depends on it. And, you know, right now our dollar's crumbling, the value's crumbling, we're $40 trillion in debt. You know, our debt exceeds GDP, I think, somewhere between 124 to 130%. That's only happened three times since World War II. We're in the third time right now. You know, so our dollar is failing. We have no choice but to secure our dollar with the oil, or we risk, you know, the collapse of the dollar and then economic collapse. So when Iran started to trade oil, just like Venezuela, they started to trade oil with Russia and, again, China, and do it in their own currencies. And so that leads to this whole BRICS and Abraham's Accord deal. So, you know, the U.S. created Abraham's Accord, but, I mean, it was really created by Israel, pushed by the U.S., you know, to get countries in the Middle East to enter into a strategic relationship with Israel that essentially gives Israel the upper hand and control, right? But they call it a strategic relationship. Well, as just before that was going on, that was a response to BRICS. So India, Russia, China, and South Africa were the initial countries in the BRICS Accord. And the BRICS Accord has multiple facets of build out. But the BRICS Accord is going to be, when finished, the goal is that they'll have their own currency. Now, each country will have its own currency, but the value of that currency will be based on agreed upon metrics. So 60% of the currency's value will be based on each country's gold supply. And then the other 40% will be based on GDP. So they have a pretty good system built out on that. But the most dangerous thing for the U.S. dollar is that they want to build their own transfer system between every country in the BRICS Accord, which would make three of the largest superpowers in the world, would give them their transfer system outside of the SWIFT transfer system in their own currency. And that would essentially collapse our dollar overnight, because they would no longer be using the U.S. dollar for anything, you know, unless they were doing some direct trade with the U.S. So BRICS has been recruiting UAE, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, several other countries, and more countries have also joined. I think Brazil is a part now. There's different levels of membership, but the writing's on the wall that the BRICS movement is happening. Now, obviously, China and Russia have gotten behind Iran now, and they're in talks about entering into some kind of alliance. But it's not only a economic alliance, it's also an intelligence and military alliance as well inside of the BRICS Accord. And so the Abraham's Accord is Israel's response so that they don't, you know, lose their, you know, future Pax Judaica, Greater Israel movement. And that's why Israel is using the U.S. military to attack Iran and, you know, quote unquote, protect the Gulf nations, because Israel needs the Abraham's Accord to be accepted. And that creates an economic, agreement between all the countries it joins, creates an intelligence sharing, memorandums and, you know, strategic alliances and a military alliance. So basically they'll all help each other, which really what that means is everyone will end up fighting for Israel. And so Israel's making their move. Now, so there's two parts to this. There's prophecy and, you know, theology prophecy, and then there's just simple economics. And since we've chosen oil to, you know, be our source for energy, source for production, pharmaceuticals and everything else, we've made oil the most valuable thing in the world. And so Israel, in order to become a superpower and create Pax Judaica, Greater Israel, has to secure the Middle Eastern oil. So they have to push the Abraham's Accord, and they're going to use the U.S. military to destroy anyone in their way. And I just don't see that stopping anytime soon. So really, at the end of the day, that's all this war is about, at least on the humanity side of things. Now, we can get into the prophetic thing in a second, but real world order is just the new world order, is that they want to create Greater Israel. You know, the founder of Israel, who's an atheist, by the way, David Ben-Gurion, said that the goal of Israel, this was in Look magazine, January 17th, 1962, is to abolish all nation states, to abolish all armies, to create a world police, and to bring all countries together under the Noahide laws, which is the Abraham Accords, is how they would do it. And they would create a world court that would be headquartered in Jerusalem. The founder of Israel said the goal of Israel. So if you look at this, this is where it ties into prophecy, right? You've got to control the thing they make the world rely on, which gives you all the money, all the oil. But in order to accomplish the prophetic objective, right? So in Judaism, and this is, you call this a Talmudic, Kabbalist, Zionist prophecy, kind of all wraps in together. Now, all Jews don't believe this. You know, this is more on the extreme radical Jewish side, the Israeli Jewish side. And they believe they have to do three things to usher in this Pax Judaica, Greater Israel, and this globalization, new world order. So the first thing is the sacrifice of the perfect red heifer. So a lot of people believe that red heifer was sacrificed in August 25. I've got some evidence of that. There were several prominent Jewish people that went on talk shows and were holding up the little vial baggie that they were sent water and some ash from this red heifer in to do the cleansing ritual to prepare for.
Right. And this sounds crazy. This sounds crazy. They're on video bragging about it.
Yeah, 100%. It sounds crazy because they make people feel crazy for believing it. It takes you back to propaganda and psychological warfare. People have been doing things like this since the beginning of the time.
Right.
Now people think it's crazy because they tell you it is, right? You know, they it's part of that gaslighting psyops thing, and people just don't see it. So they have sacrificed one perfect red heifer. I don't know if they have to do another one yet. The next part is they have to build the third temple, rebuild Solomon's temple. The only problem with that is that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is sitting in the spot where Solomon's temple needs to be built, and it's been there about 1,600 years. So in order to build the third temple, they have to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It gets very, a complicated situation, right? Because if you blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Muslims are going to go to war, right? They're going to get crazy. So they've been pushing, Muslims out, going back to what, I did with building the army that eventually became ISIS. It created tens of millions of refugees, right? So if you look into how all these Muslim refugees from the Middle East, North Africa, and everywhere else got to America and got to Europe, look at HIAS, H-I-A-S. It's a Zionist Jewish organization And funding through them has sent tens of millions of Muslims to Europe and to the U.S., one, to get them out of Israel's backyard and the countries around them that they need to take over to create greater Israel. But then, two, they've just dumped all these Muslims into the Middle East and Europe, which brings me to the next part of the prophecy, which is what they call the Gog-Magog War, or Dom versus Adam. So basically, they believe that they have to start this Zionist version of the Gog-Magog War, which is Christians versus Muslims. And Albert Pike has some prophecy on this for World War III as well. He's a very elite Mason back in the day. But they have to make Christians and Muslims go to war. And in their prophecy, this Gog-Magog War will get so bloody and get so bad that eventually the Christians and Muslims will realize that they've been deceived and they shouldn't be fighting each other, that the real enemy is the Jews, Israel. And they believe that the Christians and Muslims will then descend upon Israel and to the chosen lands, and that their Messiah will come to power by doing some miraculous thing to stop the attack.
And certainly not a thermonuclear weapon deployed or anything. Certainly not. You want to talk about like modern prophecy, self-fulfilling prophecy. My dad, back in the day, when he would talk about like interdimensional vampires, talking about like demons and stuff like that, people would call him crazy. This is what they believe. It's not what we believe necessarily. It's what they believe. They say it. They're proud of it. And then it's this really weird thing where they say it out loud and they gaslight you and say, oh, you're not allowed to call this out. What do you think of that?
Right. Well, they'll call you anti-Semitic. They'll call you all kinds of names for pointing out what they believe, what they talk about. Like, even when I post rabbis talking about these prophecies on my Instagram page, they get taken down for hate speech. You can't make this stuff up. They just deleted my account that had about 150,000 followers a couple days ago, you know, because hate speech. But all I do is just put what they say on there. I put their prophecies. I put the verses from, you know, their Talmud, you know, on there. And then they delete my post for hate speech. You know, so telling the truth about what they do, when they call you crazy, they call you anti-Semitic, but it's literally in their prophecy. It's in their books, you know, and, you know, it's getting very difficult, I think, to tell the truth these days because, again, just like I said, they took over the global banks and the Federal Reserve. They slowly but surely monopolized everything. You know, Zionists have, I think, about a 97% ownership foothold on U.S. media. You know, so almost all social media platforms, they even own Rumble, the freest place to talk, right? You know, so if you're going to tell the truth these days, you have to have a platform outside of theirs. You know, so it's a very interesting time to be alive right now when they're making these moves. They're even talking about it. Netanyahu's mentioned prophecy. Trump's mentioned prophecy. You know, Secretary of War, hey, calling him that.
What do you think of this? What do you think of this? You're talking about this. There have been hundreds of complaints. Crew, find it. I think it's like the MMRF. I think that's the military group that's responsible for handling like religious violation complaints and First Amendment violation complaints. The soldiers were told that the war in Iran is to light the signal fire for Jesus Christ to return with their superior officer having like a leering grin on his face. I imagine you've probably been in pretty crazy scenarios and stuff, but like I personally can't imagine being in that. I don't know what I'd do. I would be like, what exactly? I guess they just have to listen.
Well, brother, I think at first you take an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And I got to say that again. Every U.S. soldier, every service member has taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Nothing in there did they say I was fighting a religious war because, you know, the Constitution is pretty clear about separation of church and state. And I also, when I was in, would have the ability to, you know, not follow unethical orders, you know, or unlawful orders. So, you know, it's a very weird time right now, because even if you look back at the start of the Iran war the second time, when Trump deliberately bombed that girl's school, and I think he killed somewhere between 140 and 170 schoolgirls.
Yeah, I think the number's 165, not including the teachers. Yeah. All right, so let's go into that, because I have debated this with myself mentally, and I'm still unsure, but you have an expert opinion, you understand the armed forces. That school was a place where the daughters of lead IRGC commanders would go. Was that yes. was that the reason why we hit it? Is it not just a, they said that, oh, Claude messed it up or something? I think that was the claim. Yeah. Was that one of the AI engines?
No, it's not. So I was a SOTAC. So I was a JTAC. I was one of the guys who went through training for dropping bombs, right? Or coordinating with the jets to drop the bombs. So someone like me would have been in the command shed controlling that aircraft, telling it was cleared hot to drop that bomb. Now, there is a multi-step process that you have to go through in order to confirm a target. Now, back when I was in the military, we didn't kill civilians. We didn't intentionally target people, and we definitely didn't kill kids. We followed the laws of war and the Geneva Convention, and we would call off bombing raids all the time. If there was any family nearby, civilian structures, churches, hospitals, anything, because at the end of the day, that's just not what we do. Yeah, we take the fight to the enemy. We don't kill kids. We don't kill civilians. And so with our imagery, and even on the classified side of imagery, we can, you know, with the 1 meter imagery, you can see every color. Everything is constantly updated with the spy planes, the technology, the cameras, the satellites, everything that we have. You know every damn thing there is to know about a target before someone like me says cleared hot and that bomb drops off that, comes off that plane or launches from wherever it comes from.
Wow. So I've watched the video of Trump and Hegseth. I have it downloaded to my YouTube. That's how much I hate it. Mm-hmm. And I rewatch it all the time to remind myself of why I do this job. And it's Hegseth and Trump saying, we think it was Iran. They're very imprecise with their munitions. The idea that they would bomb their own school within, like, when the American attack starts, they telepathically generate a bomb over an elementary school. That's what you have to believe in. Like, what do you think?
Man, they're just liars, man. I don't think I've been more disappointed to be an American than I have during this administration.
Me too.
You know, it breaks my heart, man, for the guys that are serving right now. You know, I saw Sean Ryan clip the other day on Instagram. He was talking about he was hanging out with a buddy who's still in, and he was about to go deploy and go fight or get ready for, because, you know, and they're talking about a ground invasion and other things now being on the table. And Sean was talking with this guy, and this guy said, you know, I'm being sent to fight for Israel, and I know it. And he's like, I don't have a choice. And it seemed like the fight wasn't gone within him, because obviously he's going to war. I think there's so many people are just so complacent with what's happened, because, you know, this didn't happen overnight. They slowly, systematically, since they took over the Federal Reserve in 1913, taken over our bureaucracy, our military positions, our politics, and AIPAC controls the left and the right. You know, so it's our country has been hijacked. We are occupied. And it's just heartbreaking to think that, you know, a lot of American soldiers and Marines sometime in the near future are going to be sent in to Iran to fight a ground war where potentially hundreds of thousands of them could die to win, right? And when I say win, what do we win? You know, when Trump came into office, oil was about $70 a, you know, barrel. Gas was about, you know, $2.80, $3 a gallon. Now it's like $4 a gallon on average. Oil keeps going up and down, and, you know, it's down near $120 a few months ago. It's only going to get worse if this continues. You know, we're looking at so many ramifications of this.
Let me ask you what your predictions are, because we got 5 minutes left. So you have a extreme expert opinion lens on this as an analyst, because we're doing analysis right now of this whole situation. You're somebody that has been involved with the dropping and logistics of bombs and planes and understanding that in warfare. You're somebody that understands the reality on the ground of the guy with the gun who ultimately is responsible for winning all of the wars. You have to have that element. You understand the military and its command and control structure. What's happening right now? Are they going to do a ground invasion? Are they going to pull out? Because Trump is between a rock and a hard place. What is he going to do?
Well, I think he has to do what Israel says. You know, at the end of the day,
What do they want
to create greater Israel. You know, so when I was doing this ISIS mission, I learned the whole thing. And that's what got me studying, reading the Bible, studying Judaism, studying Islam, studying theology, prophecy, looking at how all these events, because, man, once you're in intelligence, you're behind the curtain. And there's 15 reasons why something happens. But at the very end of it, there's only one big reason it happens, right? And Israel wants to, their prophecy, Jewish prophecy, they are a Jewish nation, right? Well, you know, I mean, very.
Hey, it's a secular atheist state. That is the same state mm-hmm. in the Bible 3,000 years ago, and they have a claim to that mm-hmm. land, even though they're an atheist secular state. They have both the mm-hmm. sword and a shield. That's kind of the whole issue.
100%. But they claim to be atheists and not follow the God of Abraham. I can tell you what God they really follow. It might be Baal and a little bit of satanic worship going on there, right? They don't believe in God. They don't believe in Jesus. They have an agenda. They have, in my opinion, they're the synagogue of Satan, and they have an agenda. And their agenda is greater Israel. And they are manifesting destiny for end times prophecy. ISIS was a part of that. The war in Iran, the war in Iraq, the war in Syria, the Arab Spring. Almost everything we've done since 2001 is to set the stage so that Israel can push the Abraham's Accord, push their military operations and campaigns using the U.S. military, using the lives and the blood of our service members to secure greater Israel. Pax Judaica, Israel wants to be a superpower, and they believe that they're going to usher in globalization, and the stage is set. They control the banks. They control our government. They control the largest military in the world. I mean, you saw what happened with Spain. Spain, you know, spoke
Talk
out
about
and
it.
Against them.
Talk about what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, Spain spoke out against Israel and you know, said they don't support and don't recognize them. And next thing you know, well, they use the U.S. military, the U.S. government's money, of course. $40 million was spent over to
right.
our money was spent to pay.
I've
for
got
this.
It right here, over right. headshot. Please mm-hmm. go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah, but they then flood, Spanish territory with Moroccans, right? You know, and so it's and then you know you got fires going off and all the other countries that have stood up or spoken out against Israel. I mean, they can just do whatever they want because they have the U.S. money. They have the U.S. military, and, you know, if you get out too far out of line, they kill you. Yeah, and if you stand up against them, they make you hurt. And the next part of this, like I talked about this Gog-Magog war, what I fear, and I heard your dad say something about this the other day. That's why I'm a big fan of your dad, because he gets it. They are going to do something like 9/11, I believe. But what we've been seeing in intel reports for years is this 9/11 on crack. You know, 9/11 times 10, where they're going to attack multiple American cities simultaneously, but not only attack, like, you know, soft targets where they can get the biggest bang for their buck and less threat, but they're simultaneously going to attack first responders, fire trucks, you know, ambulances and all the infrastructure that would be used to help those areas. So we've been seeing intel reports about this for a while. We've got 40 or 50 million immigrants in this country. Trump's deportations are less than the last four presidents before him, himself included. The only problem is we have about 40, 50 million more people that don't belong here. We've deported no one, hardly anyone. And we're set up for catastrophic failure with the dollar, with the economy, with chaos domestically. Europe is about to burn as well. So I think these false flag attacks are coming pretty soon because Israel has no choice left. People are waking up. People are speaking out. People are starting to see how evil Israel is, how controlled our leaders are, and how compromised America is. So Israel has no choice. They're a dog backed into a corner, and a dog backed into a corner is going to bite. And I believe that false flag attack is going to come soon. So everybody turns their attention to Muslims, right, like they always do to us, like 9/11. And that starts that, you know, Christian versus Muslim chaos. And, you know, we're going to be probably shooting each other in the streets here domestically before not too long, because the decks, the cards are set, man. This isn't, you know, conspiracy. This is just, it's right in front of your face.
Yeah.
All the evidence for this is right in front of our faces. And, people need to wake up and stop watching the reality TV, stop burying their heads in the sand, and realize we're about to lose our country. And, you know, I just don't know how else to put it.
Right. Well, here's the thing. It's like your parents say, oh, would you go do that crazy thing? Would you go jump off a building too? Like, that's the thing. Like, everybody's just like, hey, it's time to line up and jump off the roof now. And we're like, no, We're not for that. We don't support suicide. We don't support killing our country for a foreign power. But can we stop it? Can we find an answer? Matt Murphy, thank you so much for coming on. We're going to have you back on. I'm hosting the big show. We'll definitely at least do a segment. I want to talk to you about, you know, being a Green Beret. Like, you understand, like, being given, like, a giant bag of money and being told to destabilize the nation. That's what's being done to us right now. So there's a lot more to talk about. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Peace. Thank you. We'll be right back after these messages.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots, and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Three-hour live broadcast connected to you via the power of the internet. via Wi-Fi, satellite, radio, and a whole host of mediums. It's always cool to be in 100,000 rooms at once. Thank you so much for tuning in to War Room Live. I am your host, Rex Jones, and we're rounding out things here today with calls. I want to get ready to take y'all's calls, and I want to ask you about a specific topic. I'm going to read the number out, and I'll tell you what the topic is first before I do. I want you to call in if you have an opinion on the new right, on like the Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Tucker Carlson, the Alex Jones, Thomas Massey, people like that. What does the new party represent to you? Who would you like to see really emerge in the coming 2028 election? I'd be very interested to hear what you have to say about that. Please call in 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. So if you want to call in and talk to me about that, I would appreciate it, because here's the thing. I do believe that we can affect change politically. I'm a true believer in this. I think that there are things that we can get done. I think that there is a lot more blackpilling than there really should be on our side. But at the same time, who is the person, right? Because you look at the personages of Trump, and you realize if you're overly reliant on something like that, it can really hurt your movement. Right. Cause our movement was never, like I often say this, about the hat and the tie and the YMCA dance. It was about what Trump promised to do. And I think what you need is somebody that was wounded by Trump and discriminated against by Trump for trying to hold him to account for the values that he used to hold. Like, if you have an opinion on that, or if you disagree, and if you think Donald Trump has not changed and that the GOP is invincible and incredible, or it's the best we have, you're never going to get any better, I want to hear from you, positive, negative, whatever your opinion is on this, though. Call in if you have an opinion on this. I'm very interested to hear what you have to say. Let's, callers on the board, just 512-266-0642. I want to talk to you. Please call that number. Really quick, can we get the Alex Jones store up there? TheAlexJonesStore.com. That is the place to go. I need you to go there right now and check out the Power Drive bundle. I created two products on there. That's Power Plant and Methyl Drive, nootropic adaptogens, also CoQ10 PQQ for mitochondrial health, pairs amazingly in research with methylene blue and other ingredients. We have all of that available and more available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The turmeric is new. The turmeric tincture is new, but this is not. This is all available for you. The Power Drive Bundle. It's Power Plant, Ultra Methylene Blue, and Ultimate Methyl Drive. Very, very cool. All right, let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's talk to Sean in California. Sean in California, you're on the air.
Yo, Rex, good hearing from you again. And an amazing broadcast today. Harrison as well. You guys, it's like I get enriched listening to you guys because you go in depth and you actually reflect the zeitgeist. So you wanted to discuss what you're referring to as the new right, from what I heard, correct?
Yeah, like what's coming. You know, not necessarily midterms, because like that'll just be an interesting battle, but the real wars in 2028. What's your take on 2028?
Well, my thought, remember the picture you talked about that was getting hit by the bots of Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker and Joe Kent? Maybe it wasn't MTG there, but anyway, you know, to me, this is going back to what the founders intended for us. In the Federalist Papers, I believe it was number 10, they addressed the issue of faction. I think Americans are now seeing evil for evil, and though we might have a left or a right label, whatever, we actually want to come together at the table and talk about the things that unite us, which are a lot more than what divides us. And so we might just have ourselves maybe either a new third party, as I've heard you and Harrison discuss, or just a movement where it's we the people and not we the parties anymore. And that's what we need, I think, in this nation, to quit letting ourselves get subdivided into each camp with a personality and instead just get together and do what works. You know, that would be more in line with how this country was supposed to develop from the start.
Now, I totally agree. And as real problems and real issues become apparent for everybody, and we're not able to just ignore things anymore, the consequences of our actions and what we do overseas specifically, and our foreign policy, to try to separate our foreign policy from the domestic policy, that we're not in the 1970s. It can't really be done. You know, it's a completely different world. And you know, I was thinking about this. Older people don't understand that. They still think we have the military of 1991. We don't. And, you know, I'm not ever going to vote for people that want to kill me in the Middle East ever again. But at the same time, I want to be able to effectuate political change. So there's various arguments as to whether you talk about third party, also talk about kind of the Trump or RFK Jr. model where you have someone run inside the party and have them take over. And he genuinely did that because I remember them talking about Jeb Bush like he was going to be the president. I remember a lot of that. And Trump genuinely killed that. We can talk about the Hillary thing and the war and the battle there, which I do think was real, or at least mostly real. But he took out Jeb Bush. Like he completely snaked and smoked Jeb Bush. He third-partied him, like in Fortnite. And I think that we could have the same type of thing happen again. If you have one of these warmongers like Marco Rubio, let's say he's polling like 35%. He's the front runner or whatever. And then you have someone else on that stage like Joe Ken or somebody else that served. And Marco Rubio gets a question about the Iran war and he gives, oh, well, we had to go in. We had to defend Israel. Oh, that is what it is. And someone like Joe Kent would say, oh, yeah, well, what about the families of the dead service members? Did you go talk to them personally? Were they all happy that their family died to stop a nuclear weapon that wasn't a threat and didn't exist and I knew wasn't a threat and that's why I resigned? This is a fake war manufactured by Israel. Like, what happens when jaws truly drop? But that's what I'm interested in seeing. I think there's a lot of potential for it. I don't think you have to be ex-military to do it. I think it definitely would help. And I think that is the true, like, bad, like, major arcana for them. That's their kryptonite. That's the thing that they have to avoid, is someone that's been there, done that, and can call them out on their war crimes. Excellent call. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Debbie in Florida. Debbie in Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, hon?
Good.
I wanted to tell you, you're right on target, almost. You're going to need some help from your dad to figure this one out, but just listen to this. I did government contract work in a specific area in the South, in Georgia, and I used to climb the towers and everything else. And what I didn't realize was that I also signed a no non-disclosure agreement. Fact of the matter is, we've been allowing our military, Black Hawks helicopters specifically, to fly for Israel under the Israeli flag. They're Jews, but they're Americans. I said, how is this possible? I thought it was the craziest thing. And this is back in the 80s, okay, to give you a point of reference. How is this happening and how could it be possible? So I talked to the person because we had a friendship. We were friendly with these people.
So what ended up happening, ma'am? But if you can boil it down, because we got a bunch of people on the board.
What ended up winding up happening is that he's in Israel right now, but he was working for the U.S. military. That's the whole point. It made no sense in the 80s. And it really doesn't make any sense now.
No, it doesn't. We have Congress members that wear IDF uniforms and vote to send more money to Israel. Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. Let me talk to Abraham in New York. Abraham, how are you doing?
Another honor, just like yesterday. And at the end of this call, I would want to comment about my experience with the supplements and also something about the show itself, how we access it by the apps. Now, we, as an entire nation, how come none of us stepped up adequately to back Thomas Massie?
That, yes.
His competition. I mean, now, obviously, he and Rand Paul would make the ultimate in 2028 if we really had strategic oversight. Those are the two best guys that we got. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, even though she's independently wealthy now, that's why she doesn't need this political crap. But Thomas Massie and Rand Paul.
No, but nobody showed up for him, man. And like, I should have gone. I should have done something. Everyone should have been there from across the country. This was literally like AIPAC bragged about putting his head on a spike. It's disgusting.
And it's in conjunction with how Charlie Kirk, you know, like those interests have been so effective this year. This is their damn year. This is like the 60s all over again. They're able, anybody who's an effective voice and opposing this worldwide collapse, the key people were killed. We're so fortunate that we want Alex, but we're also fortunate that we still have Tucker Carlson at this stage.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair to say. And here's the thing. like they talk about an angrier world, like that's where we're at. Like if people wake up and there's no option, like there's no valid option on quote unquote our side, they're going to listen to the communist agitator. And like JFK talked about this, like this is how you get true societal collapse. And like we needed somebody like Massey. I mean, Ed Gowron, that guy literally like fantasizes, drools about drafts on podcasts, like drools about the idea of sending American souls off to go die in another war in the Middle East, because he is a radical Christian Zionist. I don't want to hear people talk about Muslims. I don't want to hear people talk about Mormons. I don't want to hear people talk about Jews. Like, this is a whole nother level. Like, if you believe that we have to bring in the apocalypse to bring Jesus back, and we got to back World War III in Israel to do it, I mean, that's the sickest thing there is. And they couldn't do their agenda if there wasn't a domestic population of people here that agreed with it. That's the reality. So there's accountability over in America, I think. What do you think about that?
I agree with you 100%. The guess that you just had is so precise, and how events are manufactured decades ahead of time. That's another reason why they're able to unfold, because these are September 11th and a new September 11th, but all the conditions from COVID crunch down and media consolidation and BlackRock and flooding us with all the immigrant persons. And since when in history would 50,000 guys show up on land and the press wouldn't frame it as, look at this disgusting, weird criminal act?
Oh, no. No, I've got it here. We paid $20 million, and in our latest treaty with Morocco, we say, the committee notes that Spanish-administered cities of Ceuta and Melilla, or Melilla, however you say it, located in Moroccan territory, are located in Moroccan territory, and remain the subject of Morocco's long-standing claim. So we told them to do this, and then we sent them, it's not $20 million, Abraham, it's $40 million. Massey talked about it. Your thoughts on that, and then I got to take the next call.
I would compare it to the same way they prepped the conditions for the Vietnam War. They spent millions shipping in men and women on aircraft flights into Vietnam, manipulating the South and the North. The budget in today's money is about like $100 million. They spent just on aircraft manipulating the pieces on the ground in Vietnam before we even heard anything about sending analysts there to evaluate.
Yeah. Totally agree. Thank you, Abraham. Really appreciate the call. Love the energy, guys. When you have energy, I really respect it, especially like that guy's smart too. It's a very smart caller. He's also got a unique way of expressing himself in a regional dialect. Very, very big fan of that energy. I like to, let's get a lot more of that from people. Let's go to Omar in California. Omar, you're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Hey, look, I'm from Yemen. I'm Muslim. I just like, man, every time someone says something about Israel, like, they always say, oh, we got to defend from the radical Muslims. Like, who the hell think about attacking Israel? Like, who even knows if all this stuff that supposedly somebody said they're going to destroy Israel, who even knows if it's true or not? Like, they'll just get anybody to go up there and,
well, I don't think we necessarily disagree. I don't think anyone's trying to destroy Israel, but Israel's trying to manufacture a fear of that happening so they can do their wars.
You know, my father is 80 years old, and he remembers a time in Yemen, and he tells me when Jews actually lived there in the 50s and 60s, and that there was no problem.
Right.
And
There's no problem in Iran right now.
No, I don't know. But another thing I want to say, how sad is it in America that they can send all this money to Israel, but not one single representative, or maybe a couple, won't say, hey, how about we split that money and give every single American $50,000? How about that? We'll just calculate it.
I think the main thing for me, man, is like, if I'm going to spend that money, then I want at least half of it to go to feeding the people that I'm starving, and I'm super against the Palestinian genocide.
And I know a lot of people from Palestine and
sure.
From Gaza, and it's sad, man. It's sad.
Yeah, it's the most monstrous thing to happen in the 21st century. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Billy in Alabama. Billy in Alabama, you're on the air.
Hey, Rex. Great job. Really appreciate you. Yeah, you were mentioning this new party forming or whatever it is.
Yeah, what's your take?
Boy, I'm scared to death that whoever it is, and I'd love to see Tucker, but whoever it is, you know, the massive pressure and control and the blackmail and the violence. Look at Charlie Kirk. So I
sure.
think anybody that's even thinking about it has got to consider, you know, and not even just personal, but like his wife, you know, you know how these people are, right?
Yeah, no, I totally take your point. I just, the prize is too great. Like everything is on the table right now. We're not in like a political era of stagnation anymore. We've entered into like rapid decline. So with that crisis, of course, comes a lot of opportunity for people. And it's really like, do you want your name to be in the history books for the next 500 years or not? Like now is the time for a lot of people to make that happen. You're also going to witness pretty soon, like just a mass die off of like the neocon power base. So I think that's a big factor.
Yeah, it's going to take someone with phenomenal courage. You know, I mean, just unbelievable courage. I love Tucker because, you know, of course, Trump had the building and business background, but Tucker's he's had his eyeball on the world for decades, you know, and he's always been smart and articulate and open-minded enough to listen to your dad about 9/11 and you know, all that. He's just got it all going on. I'd love to see Tucker, but honestly, Rex, I'd be afraid for his life every day, like I am for you and for your dad and everything.
No, 100%, but that's the thing is, like, life is great, but living in fear is not my idea of living, and this is the only thing you can do, so it's the only thing you should do. And what else is the reality? And like we talked about with last segment about like PSYOP psychological warfare. Here's the thing. Everyone in America has been abused, propagandized, fed mass media, fed lies and delusions about what we actually do overseas to a degree where if we actually all come together and have solidarity and understand not from like some like victimhood process, but understand from a personal accountability process, what exactly has been done to the country and then to us by proxy, I think we can wake up. But it's a real unity message, and it's going to take somebody that was hurt by Trump because Trump perverted the energy of like that populist freedom spirit in America. Like he took it over for himself and he smothered it and he killed it in the crib. And now we have to hope to kind of like find that lightning in a bottle again. So thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Let me talk to Tiger in Washington. Tiger in Washington, you're on the air.
Hey, Rex, you've been killing it hosting the war room past couple of weeks here now. I took the methylene blue and I racked and stacked the power pack. Now get your supplements, folks, because they will change your life. Now, back to your original question, the new coalition. Have you seen that graph where the left has moved so far left that the guy right of center is now labeled a Nazi? It needs an update with the Z azimuth for the 1776 2.0 George Washington Party, Liberty or Death. The Republican Party is deader than dog doo-doo. It's got a case of Zionism, man. It no longer represents us. Anyhow, thanks, Rex. Also, Bigley, where's the sleep supplements, man? Help my boy Rex out. That's all I got for you, buddy.
I appreciate the call, and you're definitely right about the end there. Thank you so much, man. Really appreciate the support. And here's the thing. Don from Oklahoma, I'm going to take your call. Everybody that calls in, like, I really appreciate it. Catch me on my morning show. Like, I want to talk to you again, and I take calls in the third hour. So go ahead and Don in Oklahoma, you're on the air.
Howdy.
Hi.
I guess you're with me. You know, this is about Israel. We give them the money. Congress votes to give them the money. And then if you look online, you can find out they're giving the money back to our politicians, buying them off. So they're not really even interested in us. They're just basically selling us out, you know, and the,
Yeah, you know, no, it's disgusting. It has nothing to do with our lives. Our lives would only get infinitely better if we were not fighting over there. Like these countries, the idea that we have to constantly be at war over there, you think they wouldn't negotiate? Like think about how many failed negotiations there have been, man, that we don't even know about.
Yeah, we need to, it's like a parasite. They're just parasites, and we need to rid ourselves from them because they're actually destroying this country here because people try to pick their leaders. But you go online and you look, and you clearly see, hell, all of Oklahoma's congressmen and senators are sold out. That's Senator Lankford here. I think he got $322 million. But anyway, stop doing it. You know, if it's causing you physical trouble, stop doing it.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Thank you, Don in Oklahoma. I will be back in the chair. I'll be doing the Alex Jones show tomorrow and I think the next day, but maybe not because he might be back earlier than expected, but also no. So I'll be in the chair for you. If you haven't checked me out, go to Rex Jones News with the Z on Twitter and on Instagram too. Follow me there. I post show clips. I'm live every single morning. 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. I was live this morning. I'm doing, this is my sixth hour live today. That's Rex Jones News with a Z. I do gray area talks at night. That's linked in my profile. Follow that as well. Also on YouTube. That show is on YouTube. So if you're a big YouTube person, not necessarily the biggest Rumble person, follow me there at gray area talks, but find me in the morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single day. Pull up the Rumble if you would. Cause here's the thing. I know we got the Rumble chat here. And I know they're roasting me for being bald and looking like Unk and doing whatever. Here's the thing. You can roast me every morning in my Rumble chat. How about that? But come in, give me the views, give me the audience, and more so, let me convince you of my worldview and really why we all need to unite together against what we face. Like, just come in and watch my show. We do a really good job. Shout out to Austin. Shout out to Jack. Shout out to Tim. Shout out to Anthony. We're working on so much amazing stuff. It is literally... This is all I think about. This is all I do. New American Journal. Go ahead and follow me there. Follow me on Rumble. If you're watching this right now on Rumble, just go over and follow me there. 3-hour live show every single morning. I do something super fun too, where it's usually a 4-hour show. I run a documentary. I run like our classic free to air documentaries like Terror Storm, like Endgame, like the Obama Deception, and so much more. Classic reports, clips of me as a kid. On the old network, all of that is available for you on the freer social media platforms like X and Rumble. Follow New American Journal. And I have Knockout Sleep Support. I do sell it 50%off.com. That is the website for that if you want to find that there. I also have BrainForce available on 50. So that's an interesting site and store to check out if you want to. I should have... another very, very big guest on this week. I'm very curious if they're going to let me have him on, but I think that they will because we're a totally free network. I'm trying to do more discussion debate shows, and I think a lot of you guys like it when I do those. The clips seem to do well. What do you want to see me cover? What do you want to see me debate? I have a debate that just dropped today with, I think her name is Maria Headbangs. We did a boomer debate, and she's not a boomer. She's a Gen X person, but we can argue because it's a boomer. It's not generational. It's neocon spirit we're really talking about when I say that. I love and venerate the elder people that have the real knowledge about the world. But sadly, there's been one power block in Congress for the past 30 years. And we talked about that in our debate. I should have that linked on my X profile by the time I finish the show. Tomorrow, I'll be getting back into the NDAA, Section 219, as well as Section 612. We'll be talking CIA Mossad. We'll be talking Second Amendment rights, preserving those. That's very important as we, you know, as we deal with geopolitics every day. We deal with World War III. We have to remember what they are trying to take from us domestically at home. And we have to fight to protect it, lest we forget they want to have it for themselves and themselves only. But I will see you next week. I'll be live. I'll see you this week too. I'll be doing the show tomorrow, Thursday. And then I'll be coming in, I believe, maybe one of the days next week. I highly look forward to that. My name is Rex Jones, Rex Jones News with the Z on X. I appreciate y'all. Let's go ahead and go to break. All right. Peace out.
Is a massive sale going on right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Huge. Ultimate summer sale. 50% off Ultimate Power, Freedom, Mango, and Patriot Punch. Methylene Red capsules. This is a proprietary product. It would take an hour to get into Ultra Methylene Red. The capsules are now in. Mind Fueled Nootropic Energy Shots. All 50% off. 40% off zeolite tincture, detoxifying, buffer spike protein, and it's good for your whole body getting heavy metals out. Methylene blue tincture, 40% off. CMOS gummies, 40% off. Shilajit gummies, 40% off. Methylene blue gummies, 40% off. Ultimate chill, and a whole bunch of other big discounts as well. 30% off all apparel. The widest selection of Patriot shirts of every different design, configuration. It is the widest selection. It's over 800 different shirts. It's ridiculous. The new line that I designed is, I think, pretty good. Rebel Scum since 1776. The Betsy Ross flag, less 1984, more 1776. In muscle shirts. A whole bunch of other really cool stuff now at thealexshowstore.com. I love this lightweight so-called dress shirt, but it's a very special type of shirt from a great manufacturer. We now have the boxer shorts, and they're not boxer-like underwear. You know, the classic boxer shorts that aren't long and aren't short. They're just kind of medium. They're my favorite type. I picked these out. I picked the brand. I said, this is the type of short I like. We're adding a lot of new apparel at thealexshowstore.com. And every order right now, and it's about to end in the next few days, gets a free mystery T-shirt. You just put your size in. You get a free mystery T-shirt with every order that's $29 or more at thealexjonesstore.com. That is a hell of a deal right now. We've got the silver collectible 250-year anniversary with the amazing Jerusalem cross. Those are going to be gone soon. Thealexjonesstore.com, and you stand with us, and you know that all the great work we're doing is because of you. You are the reason we're here. You are the InfoWar. Thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.